The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress. PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway. PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
So there's 1:13 to go. Still a puncher's chance for the Patriots, who trailed the Saints by four. Many of the seats here at Gillette Stadium now sit vacant. 70 yards to cover. No timeouts remaining. 1:13 on the clock. He has it. Retreats in the pocket. Steps up. Hit as he releases downfield. Catch by Edelman. Holds on with a jarring hit. Here's at the 47-yard line. Julian Edelman made the grab across the middle. 55 seconds on the clock and counting. Two receivers right, two to the left. Brady off the shotgun step. Steps up. Throws down the middle. Catch made by Austin Colley. Moves upfield. Sliding down at the 31. 44 and 43 and 42 to the line of scrimmage. Brady under center, takes the snap, steps back, throws it out to the right. Aaron Dobson makes the grab, tries to get out of bounds, and Dobson is thrown out of bounds by Raphael Bush with 35 seconds to go. Fourth and four, Brady on the shotgun snap. Tom under pressure, throws it to the near side. Catch is made by Austin Colley. He's brought down at the 16-yard line. Got a first down for the Pats. They've got to hurry to the line. Brady's under center with 10 seconds to go. Clocks it for the Patriots with the football just outside the New Orleans 17-yard line. Trailing 27-23. Brady's in the gun. Bolt into his left. Got the Hooman on the right wing with Dobson to the right. Colley and Tompkins left. Brady throws it to the end zone for Kenbrell. Tompkins leaping.
He's got it! Touchdown! Patriots!
Kenbrell! Tompkins!
Brady's back! That's your quarterback! Pull off the building! Unicorns! Show ponies! Where's the beef?
All right, that's the open. Thanks, Kevin, for that open. That's great. Welcome to PFW in Progress. Unicorns.
You actually did some
ponies.
Work over there.
What's that?
It was a good open.
Did he or did he steal it from somebody?
Unicorn, show ponies, and where's the beef?
And I have some good stories.
I don't know what that means. No, but I think those are the things that just go through his head on a daily basis.
That's his go-to.
Scott Zola.
Unicorns and show ponies, he does that all the time.
Oh, does he?
Oh, yeah.
But what does it mean?
I have no idea.
Anyway, welcome.
We were
to
getting
PFW
laughed at nationwide yesterday.
Well, that's the first thing I thought of is we used to laugh at the, you know, you drive home
and
they do all those recaps.
We were making fun of it on ESPN the whole morning.
We used to laugh at other places. Now we're the laughing stock.
All right. Web radio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free number. So, guys, Scott Zolak says Tom Brady's back. I don't know where he was, but good news for the Patriots. Big win. Huge comeback win.
That's your quarterback. Thanks.
Unbelievable. I mean, you know, that was one for the ages.
Certainly.
Don't you think?
And complimentary football.
So, somebody asked
been searching
me,
for.
Can you remember a better regular season game here at Gillette? And I'm trying to think. I'm not sure if I, you know, in terms
you had,
of.
You had a good one against, since I've been here, against Dallas, I think.
Yeah, Dallas was the same kind of thing.
Same kind of thing.
Yeah. I tend to like the, you know, like the blowout wins.
No, but this was a good, I mean, you played an undefeated team with a great quarterback.
There's so you want to say this is better because of the opponent? Okay. Yeah, I'm good with that.
I mean, if you just come out and blow somebody out.
Yeah, I mean, I like, you know, like. What was it? We were 12-2 and the the Jets when they came in for the Monday night game, and there was a combined like three losses for the two teams or four losses, and you win 45-3. That to me, I like those.
Yeah.
But I get what you're saying.
There's a theater to it.
What about in terms of thrillers? You know, right down to the wire, regular season games at Gillette.
Countless, like that one that he just talked about, the Dallas one. You're making Brady out to like he's never. This is his first rodeo or something. Brady does this in his sleep. He does it all the time.
I just don't. It's
not in the postseason, right?
Right.
What was the Dallas one?
He hit Aaron Hernandez with about 10 seconds left to win the game. Like 2 years ago.
Okay.
You know, before Hernandez was in prison.
All right.
Do you not remember that?
I don't.
So that's what I think. You really don't. Like this is like I'm getting made fun of because I think Brady does this all the time. He throws game-winning touchdown passes.
Well, Hernandez is gone, so he's not on Fred's mental radar.
But that's okay if you want to say this is the best. Just Don't make fun of me for thinking that he's done this a lot.
Yeah, I just don't.
He has like 38 of these in his career.
I don't love the blowouts in terms of like greatest. To me.
But that wasn't a blowout. The Dallas game, it just happened.
No, I know.
A couple years ago.
I'm not poo-pooing that. And I'm not saying this is the greatest ever because I don't really have it up there. I have a high standard. And, you know, there's different types of games. And, you know, it's great that it ends on the last play. I like the fact that the defense gave them the chance to win it. You know, I just posted that for our Take Tuesday this week.
Right.
You know, the Saints had the ball twice with the chance to run the clock out there. They get it back to him. He throws an interception, so the defense does it again. One net yard the Saints got because of the tackles for a loss in there. And I think that's good, the Chandler Jones play. And I liked it. I don't know if you saw it. Did you see Chandler Jones sprinting across the field on the touchdown? I hope this is not illegal or anything that, you know, could possibly get him fined. But when Tompkins scores the touchdown, Chandler Jones comes running across the field to celebrate with him. Like, it was cool, that atmosphere, that environment. You know, most fans missed it because they went home early, and that's fine. I know you have to beat traffic, and it makes a lot of sense
to me.
That's
not what you were saying on Sunday.
No, it's ridiculous. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Okay. Well, it bothers me.
You just said two very diametrically
opposite
things.
I was being sarcastic. Like, it makes no sense to me that you would invest a day. You've invested your day. You know, whether you get home a little early, a little later, so you can, you know, click on whatever. You've invested your day to go to the Patriots. You left in the morning, you parked, you tailgated, you spent a lot of money on parking, you spent a lot of money on tickets. Why would you ever, especially, you know, it's not like you have, you know, TJ Yates or something as your freaking quarterback. You have Tom Brady going for number 38.
It's the first time ever
of his whatever the rules are for the fourth quarter comebacks tied. And
I just think,
like,
so
why
many,
would you leave?
So many of these fans are like, they stink.
You know, I could see.
I don't understand it.
I'm totally with Andy on this one. I could see if you wanted to leave early. Let's say Brady throws the pick. That seemed to be the tipping point when everybody left.
Yes.
And I didn't get that because there was so much time left. I could see if the Saints got a first down on that drive. Okay, now there's still a minute and a half on the clock, but it's a formality. They're kneeling on the ball. I'm going home. All right, I get that. But I don't know if people realize with 2:20 or whatever there was left after the interception that they were going to call timeout, going to get the two-minute warning, and they were going to have a really good chance to get the ball back because even the good coaches like Sean Payton refused to try to get first downs.
Right.
And they just run the ball into the middle of the line inexplicably 5 times out of 6. I don't understand that. You should know that as a fan,
why
and you should be
that?
Waiting
why
to
that?
Get the ball back.
Why are they doing that? These coaches.
I think he spanned the gap because if you're a coach that's just going to run it into the middle of the line, that's what you do. You're whatever. But he didn't really do that. He runs one, which was a quick pitch, which to me is looking for a defensive end to bat it in the air, catch it, and some freakish ending that you'd see to some game. He runs a boot on the last play where he was stuck between wanting to get the first down and doing something mildly aggressive to do it or running the ball. And like, it's like he couldn't decide. I didn't think Sean Payton called a very good end there to the game because I'd actually feel more comfortable if he just said, I'm scared to death, I'm going to run it up the middle 3 times.
And the one
he
pass,
didn't even do that.
And the one pass play he called was such a low percentage pass.
Yeah, like a fade
one,
down the sideline.
A one-man route on the sideline that, you know, it has to be perfect. Basically, you're hoping for a penalty on that. And they're not going to call a penalty on that in that situation.
But the defense made the plays they needed. And, you know, some of the new guys, going back, you look at it, Marcus Forston had a tackle. Joe Villano's in on a tackle. Steve Gregory, who's often criticized, was in on a couple tackles.
Joe Villano recognizing the screenplay early in that game, too. I know he's my guy. I tend to point out.
You know, he's not actually a meatball. You can't eat him.
The individual, the screens were a problem early on. They had one big one early in the game. And then it seemed like we saw it. Now we figured it out. And the defense I thought was terrific in that game.
Even though
27 points allowed and we coughed up the lead in the second half, that touchdown that they gave up was terrible. I thought the defense made New Orleans work for every yard it got in that game.
And a defense that was out without Wilfork Kelly and then added to that with going in without Mayo and Tlaib as the game wore on.
It did seem like the job that Tlaib did on Graham really put the whole Saints offense out of sorts.
Yeah, I still think Graham was hurt coming in or hurt on like the first play of the game or something because
he kept
being on the sideline multiple plays and then he ends up getting hurt more later, which didn't look like he really got hurt. So that injury happened when he jumped up and he comes down after the interception. that had to have come at some point. I think he came in with an injury. I know he wasn't on the injury report, but I think he came in with an injury. But I don't want to take away from Tlaib. I love Tlaib's style, up in his mug, fighting with him. And, you know, he had that first pass defense where probably could have been a flag, but it felt like Tlaib said, I'm just going to play physical with him until they make me not be able to play physical with him.
Sure.
And it worked. And he held a great player to zero catches, you know, 600 yards to 0 yards.
I was just bummed that you didn't get a chance to, you know, Tlaib leaves the game, you know, whatever Graham's situation was. He wasn't on the field an awful lot. The way that game started, it was like, this is going to be really fun to watch. And we didn't really get to see it that much. We saw it for, like, maybe even a quarter of the game because Tlaib left early in the second half and Graham was in and out of the lineup constantly.
Right.
Throughout the game before he finally finished the game on the sideline. So that was kind of a bummer to me, but Tlaib was awesome. Tlaib has been the best player in this team.
Yep.
It's good to see Stephen Ridley back. As I said, he'd be the key to the game, and he was.
He ran well. Yeah. He ran very well, and he was basically the running game because Blunt did not have a good day. The committee was not exactly churning out.
I think Ridley finished with like 95 yards.
96, yes. 96 season yards. High, 96 yards and 20 carries. A couple touchdowns. He's back.
So he did well.
Should they be back to him? I actually pose this absolutely. As the possibility that we should argue this on our all-access.
I still think that they should use Bolden and Blount, but, you know.
Blunt.
I think Ridley.
I called for it before the game, and I finally got something right.
I think Ridley should be the guy. Yeah, absolutely.
So you don't want the committee. You want 1,200-yard Stephen Ridley.
I think they should. Yeah, I think Ridley should get the majority of the carries.
Not going to be a very good
I think he's
then.
Markedly better as a ball carry than the others. And I think he should get
I think he's very
vast
good.
Majority of
I
the
I think
carries.
He could have fumbled. I still worry about the fumbles because it's him. Because there's that history. He had that first big run, and the guy kind of tackled him by the ball, and I could just see it popping out late, and then it just ruins everything when you do that.
Right. Yeah.
And he still doesn't. I still would really one of these days like to see him finish a run, break away, and just have people chasing him as he runs into the end zone from 60 yards
out. It seems like when he gets to that next level, he's off balance a little bit too much
Always.
To be able to get, you know, that head start.
It's borderline strange to me. The number of carries he's had, the number of amount of success he's had, the number of times he's broken free sort of to the second level, that he's never, like, you don't have one of those signature runs where he just goes 65 yards for it. It's weird.
Right. Anyway, but he did do well.
Very well.
You know, the passing game, I mean, Brady still only finished with a quarterback rating in the 70s.
Yep. Both quarterbacks, the Hall of Fame matchup of two quarterbacks.
Right. But he made the plays when he had to at the end. I mean, I think it was amazing with Austin Collie coming in and making two clutch catches in that final drive, especially with Edelman walking around like he was half dead. And Amendola already out of the game. You needed Collie, and I think you're going to need Collie this week, too.
Which is scary.
Yeah,
because we're talking about guys with head injuries. I mean, he's the top of the list.
Because, you know, this was not a good game in terms of injuries. I mean, some critical guys going down throughout the game, and obviously we don't know what their status is for the game against the Jets, but it's not looking, you know, from what I understand, it's not looking good for Mayo.
Right.
Tlaib, we don't know about. We saw him walking around the locker room yesterday, and he looked okay, but who knows?
And by the way, he had a hip injury to end last year. Right. That was the issue last year.
He says he's going to talk on Wednesday, so we'll see what he has to say on Wednesday.
Hopefully he's more a man of his word than Tommy Kelly was a week ago.
Amendola, I can't see how he's going to play on Sunday, but who knows? I mean, he was out of it.
That was as bad as I've seen a guy. We've seen guys knocked out, but when he actually stood up and the legs were just...
Right.
That's as bad as I've seen a guy in my memory that I can recall.
You know, so...
That was scary.
So those are key guys going down right there.
Dan
Connolly was out of the game with a head injury. Don't know if he's coming back.
He could. I mean, he very well... I mean, Wendell was on the injury report last week with a concussion, so maybe those are of the minor. I don't know how you can sell me that the Amendola one was not a major blow-to-the-head concussion. But just the tone of today, had they lost, had the score held up, would have been season's over. I mean, I think, because, and probably I would have been leading the charge because that's what I do. I'm reactionary and negative. But if you lose two in a row and lose all those guys,
right.
it would have had the season's over feeling.
Sure.
To it.
That's kind of what I was alluding to in my analysis when, you know, they may have saved the season.
Yeah, I don't know.
Obviously,
I think they may have delayed it.
Obviously, it didn't take him long to turn the page. Wow, that was impressive, Andy. 15 minutes.
Well, we all talked about it all year. We feel so good about the defense, but they have no depth.
I don't think they have a lot of depth.
So if you're without Wilfork, your best defensive lineman, if you're without Mayo, your best linebacker, and if you're without Tlaib, your best corner, that doesn't feel good.
But now you're entering a stretch of games that you might be able to win despite that because of, you know, I thought New Orleans was a team when, you know, that could take advantage of that, and they did. Look at in the second half, they were much better offensively than they were in the first half when those guys went out of there. I don't think that's a coincidence. You know, when you're missing Mayo and Tlaib, all of a sudden, you know, you were kind of holding on. You allowed 17 points in the second half because I'll get the last three, I'll say, you know, that was on the offense, just giving them the ball at the 20-yard line. It's going to
be
tough.
And a lot of that was running the ball.
It's going to be tough. Yeah, they ran it. That was the strange part. Andy and I were joking. Tlaib goes out, and Andy goes, they're going to go right at him now, right at Tlaib. And they just started running the ball right between the tackles, and we couldn't stop them. When Tlaib went out, they decided to run it down our throat.
Well, also injury-related. That's Milano Jones-Mayo.
Also, Belichick said when Tlaib went out, he went to a lot of six backs. And, you know, if you're a quarterback or, you know, offensive coordinator, you look at that and go, okay, let's run the ball. You know, and they still stopped him. So you do have to credit the defense.
Oh, no. At the end of the – no, I'm talking about the whole second half. They ran it down our throat. The last drives was not six defensive backs on the field. That's two different things.
Yeah.
The last drive, they had everybody loaded up in the box. And
they did
the job. And that's when, like Andy said, they gave up one net yard in two drives.
Yeah.
They got the job done on those. When I said that they got the ball run down the throat, I was talking about in the third quarter and in – the early part of the fourth quarter. Matter of fact, Peyton was taking some heat on that last drive that they took the lead on. They ran it, got down to like the 24-yard line, then they threw it and got a holding penalty to push him back to the 34. And people were like, why didn't they just keep running the ball?
Yeah. Well, much like us, it seems like they're a different team without their big tight end. And, it really changes their offense.
Yeah, and we talked about that it was the tight end and the running backs, and the receivers aren't a huge part of their success to start the year.
Yeah. So a big win for the Patriots. Somebody sent a link to Patriots.com that listed the top 10 games at Gillette, but they include playoff games, so we can't include those. We're talking about regular season. Paul says the Dallas game was better.
No, I didn't say that. I was just giving you another example.
Fred said, I do not
Fred,
recall.
Fred, you don't even have any knowledge of it, so I shudder to think what would happen in 2 years when you forget this one.
I don't know why. I mean, when they hit Hernandez, did they only need three and they got the touchdown?
They needed a field goal to tie it.
Okay, so maybe that's why there wasn't as much tension. No, I know, but maybe that's why there wasn't as much tension because they didn't need a touchdown to win, you know?
But you wouldn't have won if you didn't score the touchdown.
No, but you would have tied it and sent it
into
overtime.
Maybe.
Yeah, but
you were losing.
You had the option of kicking a field goal.
Yes, but that would not. The field goal would not have won the game.
In this
my
game,
point.
You did not have the option of winning.
Okay,
field goal.
This one's better.
Well, technically, you did have the option.
I don't really understand, but
and that's
better.
Something I wanted to talk about. Technically, you did have the option. You chose to go for fourth and six.
Oh, back then,
to give them a field goal.
Right.
Whereas, either way, you're looking for a defensive stop. If you stop them, I think you're saying that we can stop them here. They kick a field goal. We're giving up the points for the time. But if you punt it, when you get the ball back, you only need a field goal, assuming you stop them. You know, the stopping is a big part of both theories here.
Right.
What do you think about that? Now, Belichick simply said we thought we could get the first down. Was basically what he said.
Yeah, because it was short yard. It was fourth.
See,
and it was fourth and six.
Six.
Yeah, I
would have punted the ball.
Yeah, well,
I think I would have too.
I think most people would have, and I think Belichick maybe out of respect for Sean Payton, thinking he would have been more aggressive with the play calling, thought I'm never going to get the ball back.
But what about the faith in your defense, Fred?
You know,
I think you're right. I think he thought that offense would be too good to expect them to just
shut
him down.
Right.
But is he assuming Peyton's going to turtle and not go for a touchdown?
Oh, no, I think he was thinking...
So this is fourth and two all over again. If I don't get this, the game ends.
But I think he was thinking if they get a touchdown on down eight, I get the ball back and I can tie.
You know? So...
I'm not sure how I feel about it.
I would have punted the ball.
The mentality of it is what I'm trying to get into.
They had all three timeouts.
Do you have... is this a faith in your defense? They're not moving,
the thing, maybe.
And I'm immediately kicking a field goal. We will stop them easily on three plays, and I'm kicking a field goal.
See, I think with the health of your defense and the fact that New Orleans had scored on four of its previous six possessions, or at that time, three of its previous five, I think that he was thinking,
Tlaib's
out. I'm not gonna get
a three. Was Mayo hurt at that point?
Mayo got hurt on the touchdown drive.
Yeah.
That put him ahead. So
right.
He had just gone out.
It was
right.
The play before, I think, still.
The touchdown.
It. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, so maybe he's thinking, yeah.
I think he
so
was
it's
thinking,
fourth and two all over again. I need to get a first down
right.
here.
Yeah. I'm
right.
not.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, the fourth and two was more egregious because you had the lead.
No, I know. But it's still a belief that if my defense comes on the field, I'm in trouble.
Right.
More so than my defense
right.
is going to come on the field, shut them down, force
yeah.
a field goal,
right.
give me time, and we'll drive to a touchdown.
That, I mean, that's my personal feeling.
I was trying to put a positive spin on it. I'm sorry, that's what I do.
That's my personal feeling on it. But I would have punted because of the time and the timeouts. He had all three timeouts, and it was over 3 minutes left. And I think that when you give them the ball at the 24-yard line, it makes the offense's job easier. Like, if I'm Sean Payton, I throw the ball three times there if I have to. Because I'm thinking to myself, the only way I can close this game out is by getting a first down.
Right.
You know,
right.
You making
you
the Patriots use their
down.
Timeouts to me was irrelevant.
Yeah.
They needed to get a first down. And if I'm on the 24-yard line, I have a field goal. I know I can get the field goal, so I got to try to get a first down and end this game.
Right.
I get a first down, then I can kneel on the ball, and they got to use all their timeouts and all that. And then I kick a field goal if I have to, if there's still more time. And now I'm giving them, you know, less than 30 seconds.
Right.
If things go badly. Running the ball onto the line, yeah, you made them take a couple of timeouts, but that wasn't going to end the game. As we saw, they had two more possessions after that.
Another one that just kind of popped in my mind. 2011 is my birthday, and they had that great draft. They were down 4 points against the Giants on 4th and 10. I think 4th and goal from the 10, they hit Gronkowski to go ahead, and then they gave it up. Ballard caught the ball in the corner of the end zone.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
That was a similar.
But I wouldn't call a loss.
No, but it was a similar. It was a similar type.
We don't talk.
I'm just
about
saying
losses.
It was a similar type. It was a great game.
It was that same season, the
yeah.
Dallas game.
Yeah.
Pat says Colts in 2010 when James Sanders picked off Manning in the last minute.
That was a good one,
Jimmy.
That was a good one.
That was a very good one.
You know, we're going way back, but you remember when they scored, the 10 points in the last 2 minutes to tie a game against Miami and the one ended up winning in overtime in and out?
Oh, yeah.
But that goes way back. These were better than that.
So
it was good.
Yeah. All right. 298-0398.
What?
The 508.
By the way,
code.
Don't pretend that nobody was criticizing Brady. We started making, you know, with the Zolak call. People were being critical of Brady.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, John Rook was leading the charge, running him out of town.
John Rook's calling people numbskulls
picking
now
up Paul's,
on Twitter.
Where Paul left up trying to run him out of town earlier in the year. But, yeah. I mean, Brady was starting to get some criticism. We were getting emails.
Maybe if the pass was accurate. We've been getting those for 3 years.
Not as much as we have this year. This year, they were starting to question. You know how we always assume the rookie's in the wrong place? Or that assumption was becoming less and less, and people were starting to criticize Brady's accuracy and things of that nature.
All right, let's...
Mostly Paul.
Let's get
Why
to the fans.
Why is it okay for you to do that?
Well, it's true.
Why is that okay for you to do that?
Because you call me
I
a
say,
quarterback apologist, and you always say
what did
Brady
I say
stinks.
I said something. I brought something off air onto the air last week, and you made me feel guilty about it afterwards. I forget what it was now. We don't need to repeat it because it bothered you. But it's
know.
Okay for you to throw crap like that out there.
Yeah, but you say it all the time.
It's not a playoff game. No guy I'd rather have in the regular season.
Let's go to the fans on the Ace Ticket Hotline. They want to chime in, too. Jeff in Vegas, I'll bet you won some money this weekend, Jeff.
He did not.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, actually, I got saved on a push. I got the Saints by 3, so I would have had it all locked up. Even with the miracle comeback, I was at least able to get the push and save certain financial ruin.
Certain financial ruin.
Yeah, no, I had a big play. I had a big play on the Saints. You know, and it's going to take one of the... going to take one of the greatest finishes in Patriots regular season history to have me push rather than win. I'll take that any day.
Would you really? Because I'd take the money.
I would too.
I was at the sports book. The entire betting general public was all over the Saints on that game, and they thought they had it all the way. And when New England completed that pass, I just started screaming, you know, Tom Brady, Tom Brady, Tom Brady.
Was that you or Zoe?
It's unicorns and show ponies. Get it right. Where's the
yeah,
beef?
It was like the David Ortiz from the Red Sox.
I'm guilty. I yelled that.
Yeah,
I yelled that from my office.
and I was lucky to get out of that sports book alive. Other point I had, just winning washes away so much negativity. I mean, imagine everyone would have been talking about that if the miracle comeback didn't happen, that awful Brady pick.
Oh, yeah.
John Rook would be continuing to run him out of town.
Oh, the yeah. season and would be just, over. The injuries and the Brady pick, people would say the season's over.
And Brady killed Rook's mobile quarterback argument because
he was running
he
and
was
gunning.
Running.
I know.
He was yeah, running.
Yeah. Yeah, he did escape a few times.
I think he must listen to the show. And he
oh,
said,
I think he
You know
does.
What, Fred? You're right. I got to run a little
he
bit.
He clearly doesn't listen to the show. We're still alive. Remember those guys that shot at people at his wedding? They would have come for us.
Yeah, and Fred was dead on about Ridley. And then one thing to go back, Paul Perillo, and I think Andy was on this too, back in the day, even when Gronk's first couple years, if you watch some of those Gronk highlights, just the way he goes down and gets tackled, I mean, he sort of leaves himself open to those big hits. So
yep.
I'm sort of worried when he does come back. I mean, he doesn't. It's not like Deion Branch in his later years when he just goes down after the catch. I mean, Gronk takes big shots almost on every reception, it seems.
Yeah, he's got to get those pads lower, and
it's hard.
Yeah,
he's a big, tall,
he's a big guy,
somewhat stiff guy who may be stiffer now that he's had multiple back injuries.
Now Gonzalez, he's been pretty durable over his
career.
Oh,
remarkably so.
So maybe he needs to look at some of his film and see how he's
and other things
protects himself.
And other things.
Exactly. And a couple of the great comeback games that come to mind through the years. Do you guys remember way back at Chicago years ago?
Yeah.
David Patton caught. That was
champagne.
That was
champagne
great. They actually showed that on ESPN yesterday. They were showing a bunch of Brady's
comebacks. Oh, the one in Chicago.
But I was trying to think of just ones here.
With the dragging of the foot.
That was the same year, I believe. I think that was 2002 as well.
That was a big
They had a lot of
win.
Comebacks that
yeah.
year.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't a very good team. They were always having to come back. They went 9-7.
At Denver, intentional safety.
Oh, well, that was a great one, too. That was a sequence of events that just worked out perfectly for the Patriots.
And then the one other one was at Houston. I was like, late in the season, Patriots are heavy favorites at Houston.
Daniel Graham, right?
If you want to just go back, you know, in Foxborough, in the old stadium, there was some great regular season. I remember Bledsoe with the broken finger.
Vikings.
You know, against the Buffalo. That was a
back-to-back, Buffalo-Miami.
Yeah, those were great games.
Kevin Turner, when he hit Kevin Turner.
Oh, the Kevin Turner game. The Kevin Turner game, yeah. Yep.
So,
yeah,
all
anyway,
right.
guys,
I'll give it to him
maybe
now on account of he can't remember it.
Wins like that, maybe we're a team of destiny this year. Lock it in.
Lock it in.
All right, Jeff.
That's a good ending.
Thanks for the call.
I like, pulled that together nicely.
I like what he did. You know, certain financial ruin.
Chris with a TIN. It's on the phone. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Speaking of unicorns and show ponies.
I haven't seen a finish like that since I was with your mother.
Oh!
You should have watched me Sunday there with your mother.
Hey, that's not even a good comeback. It's not even funny. I win today.
It's not. You all always right, win. You always win, Christian, but he took that one.
Like your mother took it. Did I go too far?
Yeah. So I got a funny story about the game. I was in Mexico for a friend's wedding, and I'm on the plane, and I'm listening to the game on satellite radio. And I get off the plane, and just as I'm getting off the plane, Brady throws the pick. So I'm up the escalator at JFK, and I slam my hand on the escalator. And I'm like, you know, man, and my friend's like, what's the matter? I'm like, you just threw a pick. I'm like, the game's over. I'm like, you know, forget it. They're done. I get to the top. I get my bags. I get to the top, and I get the game on. And I see them at the 17-yard, what it looked like was a 20-yard line because it was far away, but it's the 17-yard line. I go, they got the ball. They're in the red zone. They're going in. He takes the ball. He throws a touchdown. I go, it's a score! And throughout the airport. I turn around.
It's amazing. Like, you were able to do a better call of that.
There was what when you turned around?
There were two guys with giant sweatshirts.
Oh.
I turned around, and I looked at them, and they just put their head down and shook their head, and I'm like, yeah! It was unbelievable.
Good.
See, if I were them, I would have fired with, you know. Thankfully, you couldn't do that when it mattered against us. We got two rings because of it.
Yeah, they really can't. They're 0-6. I mean, maybe if they were 500, they might be able to say something, but still, you know, they got nothing. They're dead.
Right.
I mean, they, you know.
Right.
They got. They're 0-6. They threw three picks Thursday, you know.
Elite.
But it was, man, just listen to it on obviously, because I didn't see the game. How physical of a game was it?
Always physical.
Really? Yeah. I mean, with all the guys that got knocked out and everything, I mean, it really just sounded like they were kicking the crap out of each other.
Yeah, it was a very, very physical game. A lot of guys down on the field after plays, both teams, all day. It was a very physical game.
And
tough game played by tough men.
And you know, the more this goes, like I said with a couple of weeks back, be honest with you, you know, to get this win at this juncture of the season and to be 5-1, and they've gotten through the toughest part of the schedule now, I think. I don't know what you guys think about that as far as the road ahead. I mean, Pittsburgh certainly isn't what we thought they were going to be. Houston is a complete mess. And so you start to look at those, the rest, you know, down the line, and when you get, you know, whenever LeBron comes back, I don't even want to get to that. But we're going to get Marine back at some point after week 11 or whatever it is. So do you guys think now, with this part of the schedule being over, that from here on out, you know, 12-4, 13-3 is within striking distance?
Oh, I'm still saying 12-4.
12-4 is, yeah, that was my
pick
before the season.
I'm sticking with it.
Yeah, these are three tough games, and I thought you were going to go either 2-1 or 1-2, and obviously 2-1's a hell of a lot better than 1-2.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not quite as positive as all you guys. I'm sorry.
Well, I do look at what Christian says is true. I mean, there's some games that I thought were, you know, sort of 50-50 games that right now I don't look as 50-50.
Yeah, and I agree with that. No question, you've passed what I theoretically thought was the toughest part of your schedule.
You just think injuries, Andy?
Yeah.
Well,
I don't
know
when Gronk is coming back. The offense to me is still very inconsistent. You may have just lost Amendola for who knows how long, a week, a month. I have no idea what his situation is. We're starting to see Julian Edelman, who people like to say is injury prone, dealing with things, you know, getting up slow, guys coming out, and just the defense. I feel like we're counting on the defense now to win. You don't win Sunday without the defense, and your defense is dropping like flies.
I also think, but other teams are going to have trouble too with it.
Sure.
It just seems like that's the way.
No question, you know? They are. But so that may bring you back to where now all of a sudden a game that was hard against Houston but then looked easier becomes hard again because, you know what I just.
Well, the Houston one is a funny one, too, because we know that they have talent.
Right.
And they're playing so badly, you'd be better off playing them now.
Right.
By the time you play them, they may get their crap together and they might be playing all right.
And I just, these
injuries. Because you know they'll still have a chance for the wild card because the league stinks.
I mean, there's a chance that you play this week without Gronkowski, Amendola, Wilfork, Kelly, Mayo, Tlaib. I mean, that's like a Pro Bowl cast of seven of your 22 starters that may not be out there. I mean, that's a lot. And I know he's Brady and he's great. Again, he wasn't last week, but he's great again after throwing the touchdown to everybody like Paul. I think it's a lot to deal with. I think it's difficult to win the Jets, a division game that will probably be close. Yeah, I'm not quite ready to say the season was over until a minute and 13 later. Woo-wee, we're going 13-3.
Yeah, I mean, it was really, the line really is that, it really was that close.
Like, yeah.
Can you imagine what it would have been like around here?
Oh, it'd been terrible.
Chicken Little country.
But I think because of the injuries, more so than anything else.
Oh, yeah.
But
Ando
was
a game that you had.
The injuries.
But Ando was a game.
The outcome changed.
But you can't dismiss the boost you get from finding a way to win a game.
Yeah, I can.
Okay. I think it's you're like a sabermetrician. You don't believe in any. It's
oh no, I certainly
it's all the
do.
Data. It's on the field.
I'm a combination of both, but I can't dismiss the injuries that were going to theoretically end my season until I threw a touchdown pass with it 5 seconds to go.
And as far as memorable games go, with Gillette, the 2010 game against the Ravens when they traded and they got Branch back. And they won that game in overtime. 23.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was 20. That was,
I remember that one. Fred probably doesn't.
Yeah,
that's a good game, good
really
opponent, good outcome, unlike Kevin's.
Yeah.
And I believe they were 10 down in the fourth quarter in that game.
Yeah, they were. And Branch potted Tahiti in the fourth quarter, I think, but Kostkowski made the kick with like a minute left in overtime or something. But yeah, that was a memorable game, certainly.
Yep.
All right, I gotta go see Mama Hot. Bye.
All right.
Son of a bitch.
Another Chris. Chris from Niagara Falls in Canada, on the Canada side, the good side, calls
that
in. Hey,
great.
Hey, Chris.
How you guys doing? It's great to talk to you.
Yeah.
I'm a big listener. I love you guys. Do a great
what do you weigh?
The show. after we win, we're all riding on the cloud. You know, it's great to hear you guys talk about all the optimistic stuff. And then after a loss, you guys are kind of like my therapy, and you get me through the week. So I really appreciate the job you guys do. I had two questions I wanted to ask you guys. The first one was, it's easy to be an armchair quarterback after a call doesn't go the right way, but I'm kind of wondering about these calls we've been making in the red zone the last couple weeks. Against Cincinnati, when we threw the ball at Solder, and this week when we ran it three times with Bolden when we were up by three. I'm just wondering if you guys had input about that.
Yeah.
And secondly, I know we brought Laurent Robinson in for a workout, And I really liked what I saw from him with Dallas. I know he had the concussions and everything afterwards, but while we were looking for a receiver, I was wondering if you guys had any more information about him.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
I don't have any information on Robinson at all. I can only assume that they went with Colley. You know, they had a bunch of guys that they've been looking at during the course of the season in terms of tryouts or workouts, and they signed Colley, so I can only assume that they opted for him. In terms of the goal line, I'm glad that he brought up, Chris brought
We've
up.
We've had a lot of emails about
that. But I'm
that.
Glad he brought up the Cincinnati one.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they threw the ball twice in Cincinnati, and everybody was up in arms.
Right.
This week they ran the ball three times, and everybody was up. Now, it was different because they were on the one-yard line in Cincinnati,
right,
and it was the nine-yard line where it started, you know, this week, and that's different. That's a lot different. I didn't like the third down run. I said it at the time. I think I looked at India. I said, I didn't care for that call. And I'm sure that – I shouldn't say I'm sure. My guess would be that Brady checked to that based
That's
on,
I heard,
based
but,
on
yeah.
the look. Is it would seem something that you wouldn't – on third and goal from the four, I believe it was. And as I'm talking, I'll look that up. I think it was third and goal from the four. I don't think that's a running down. My guess is that he saw a look that he liked, and he checked to it, and it didn't work. What do you always say about the play calling? You know, it's not something that really, you're really big on complaining.
No, I'm
about.
Not.
Was there a play
yeah,
where
it was third and goal from the four, by
looked
the way.
Upset on the sideline?
This is the play that they're talking about. He looked frustrated, according to.
I didn't. What is this?
Yeah, I just remember people saying on TV that they shot, you know, they had a shot of McDaniels looking frustrated after that.
More so that than just getting stopped.
Yeah, like he didn't agree with what Brady did, perhaps.
See, I actually, that's the problem. When you are so rules-based, like this team is, they play by the book. They generally, you know, if you're going to go light, we're going to run. If you're going to go, like, everything is a reaction. If you hammer it into the guy, he's going to do it. I mean, and I am a believer, I kind of go to the other school. I like that there's something to be said for game plan and and all that. But there's also something to be said for Brady is your guy. You know, even though maybe the exact rule, if this is at the 50-yard line, I check to a run here. Well, you're not at the 50-yard line. You're Tom Brady in the red zone on third down. To me, there's some room for just kind of massaging the rules a little bit.
Yep.
And maybe Josh agreed and was thinking, son of a bitch, he follows the rules. He doesn't always follow the rules. He follows the rules the time. Whatever.
Yeah, now he picks
right.
the time.
Now he picks to go by the rules.
You know, and I'm kind of with Andy on that. I didn't like the call. And I didn't like the week before when they ran when they threw the ball twice, especially the one to Solder. But really, not much different. The fade to Edelman, I didn't like either.
Mm-hmm.
Why not Dobson if you're going to run that kind of a route? I don't like to kill them, you know, for play calls because of what Andy said. I think there's a lot, you know, that comes down to execution. And just as easily, that play could have popped open and Bolden could have walked in the other day, and everybody would be like, "What a great call! Same play,
right.
Better execution."
Right.
You know, so. To me, some of it goes on the players. If they, in fact, had the look to run the ball there and it was a light front, got to do a better job of, you know, carving out some space and not allowing them to come in and knock them down for a one-yard loss.
So now he's back to the offensive line.
You got to execute it.
Was that
well, the
Bolden,
offensive
though,
line,
in
yeah,
the backfield?
Bolden ran the ball on second and third down. He just got 5 yards the previous play.
Fred, we're on radio.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's part of it. If Ridley's out there, they're not dismissing the run.
Yeah.
That's part of it. You're trying to get him in a look that's advantageous.
Exactly, but If you want a pass, don't you put Ridley out there so that they have to respect the run?
It was a passing situation, right? It's third and goal from the four. In my opinion, that's a passing down.
Yeah.
I'm not a big, we got to trick them here guy, but you're going to throw the ball because that's what they're expecting you to do. And they looked at it and they thought they saw a defense. I'm speculating. I'm guessing that they checked to this
see, run. I really think that you want all your options out in the field. Okay, third and four.
But if you can't hand the ball to your third down back on third down, then get him off the team.
I think third and four, we know Ridley's better in the red zone. You know, you want that option. So put Ridley out there instead of Bolden, even if you are going to pass.
I mean, they were the first two touchdowns of Ridley's season on Sunday.
I know, but he's...
So it's not like they've been running the ball great.
He's got
down
a better nose
all
for
year.
The end zone.
So. He does. You can't take that away from him. He's got a nose for the end zone. He's done a very good job
over
the last couple of years.
I said it last week that I wanted the committee to go away and I wanted Ridley to get 20 carries, and we just barely got there. He got 20 carries. But to me, third and four is a running down. I mean, a passing down. I want to throw the ball. I think it might speak a little bit to, you know, Brady's indecision down there. He went almost two games without a touchdown pass. You know, 5 seconds left. He got a touchdown pass. I'm wondering if maybe, you know, I just don't know, you know, when we're down here and the mistakes are magnified, we got to get this three. We got to make sure we get the three. Maybe this pops open. I don't want to take a chance of a turnover because I don't know where these guys are going to be. Your thing, Andy, ball bounces off a guy's hands or something. Tight quarters down there. That could have been a crippling interception. I know that's not the way you want to go into thinking about it, but listen, maybe
he's a human being.
Yeah. Maybe the offense just hasn't lent enough confidence. You know, to do things any differently. I didn't like that call. I wanted to throw the ball on the play.
Johnny's in L.A. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What's up?
Excuse me. I just have a quick dozen thoughts for you here.
So, quick dozen. All right. Well, let's make them real. We got other people waiting.
We'll give you two.
Look, I'm going to be quick, okay? Number one, Paul.
Yes.
Do you still think Brady stinks?
Stinks? Don't listen to Andy. Don't listen to Andy. That's stupid.
Hey, I'm trying to be quick here. Number two, PFW should have a show Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, you're missing Monday. You want to talk about the game the day after the game.
We would, but we can't because they have the Patriots Monday.
Right. So it's irrelevant. We can't do it.
Have them give me a call. We'll figure something out.
Okay.
Okay. Number three, I think you guys talk about other media too often, all right? So you talk about media crime happens too often. Don't worry about the other guys. We're listening to you because you're the best.
But we like media crime. Yeah. We enjoy that.
I'm not going to lie. That's a guilty pleasure. Sorry.
Yeah, you've been going a little overboard lately, but that is what it is. So that being said, on the pregame social, when you guys always talk about Gustowski's range and the Patriots uniform colors, which I think is a little bit of a funny shot at someone who tweets that stuff out.
Correct.
It's hilarious.
That's media on media.
That's
crime.
Okay.
So if, I like it. If it's funny to you, it's okay. All right.
Exactly.
good for you.
Along those lines, Zolak's call was just amazing. All right, moving on.
Was that amazing good or bad?
It was one of the best things I've ever heard in my life. Okay. I mean, as a fan, I was equally as fired up.
I had no idea where Tompkins caught the ball or who was on him or anything like that, but it was fun to listen to.
It's fun, man. As a fan, God, I was yelling so loud, I don't think my roommate's girlfriend will ever show to the house again. It was unbelievable. All right, number four, the kid who did the pregame
social. Did you say your roommate's boyfriend?
Girlfriend.
Okay.
And girlfriend. What do you care
for? Yeah,
what's wrong with that?
Just, you know.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
I think that's, kind of gay.
No, I mean,
his roommate could be a girl, or his roommate could be a boy.
Okay. All right.
Maybe be a transgender.
If I was going out with a girl, I would not want her to have a boy roommate. Would you? I would not like that.
And I went out with a girl who had a male roommate.
Did you?
Yeah.
What if it was Eric? I mean, you couldn't be any safer.
Yeah, what if he's gay? What if the male roommate's gay?
Yeah, but you would know he's leering. He's always...
And it also depends...
Looking for that...
There was actually four of them that lived in the house, and there was...
Oh, I didn't know you were in the bathroom.
One guy and three women.
But it's also a case of, was she living there before, and then you started dating? Or were you dating and she chose to live with another... That would bother me.
All right,
this is more of an off-season topic.
Right, off-season topic.
Okay, yeah, we'll talk about that in the offseason. We'll talk about the fact that I live in West Hollywood. I don't know if, I mean, the gay thing is nothing big when you live out here, but we'll get to that another day. The kid who did the pregame social and the postgame show was better than Bertrand. He was awesome. So, kudos to him.
Scott Sudikoff will love to hear that.
The next guy's always better. Bertrand was better than Adam.
They loved Bertrand until this week.
Oh, God, Adam Jones and Bertrand are both terrible. Moving on, number five. Did you guys see the picture, the photoshopped Boston bullpen cop in back of Thompson when he caught the...
Oh, no.
What was the photoshop?
That's pretty funny.
They photoshopped the
cop bullpen from the bullpen. They photoshopped
the Thompson picture.
Oh, and the Tompkins. Oh, okay.
That's pretty funny.
He's Boston's first responder.
What's his name? Where's whoever?
Right.
Find him in great sports moments.
Google it and take a look. It is it's awesome. Okay, point number six.
How long we would have won the.
Come on, guys. Point number six, we would have won by 40 if we had Taj Boyd.
So how long are we going here?
Come on. Point number seven, Andy, I recently got commissioned to write a screenplay, and I put a line of yours in there. So if the movie ultimately gets made,
passionate about breasts?
No, 0.0. I used the phrase 0.0, which I got from Andy. So if it makes it to
yeah,
the
but
screen,
Andy got
I'll,
it from Animal House,
right? 1978.
Oh yeah, I didn't. I'm too young for that.
You might want to watch out for that one.
Can you squeeze "I'm passionate about breasts" in there?
Yeah.
So absolutely. You
squeeze the breasts. Can you do that?
Yes, and that absolutely. Gives you the opportunity to have breasts, and you know our movies with breasts always do better.
All right, point number eight. We're almost done here. The best caller you guys get is Chris with a TAAN, and the worst is Big Al in Georgia. Point number nine is I hope all the fans who left early beat the traffic. Point number 10 is I know I'm a few months late on this, but I take a lot of Adderall, and it helps you. Your workouts are a lot better when you take it. Point number 11, if the playoffs started today, we would be a 2 seed and Denver would be a 5.
Yeah, and that is true, yeah.
It was just kind of funny. And then the final point is, Freddie, don't let these guys beat you down throughout the week and tell you how bad the Patriots stink. We're 5-1. It's awesome.
If I haven't let them do it yet, I won't now.
All right. That's all I got for you guys.
All right, Johnny.
All right, Johnny.
I picked the Patriots to win.
The Dirty Dozen. Oh, you're a fraud.
Maybe so, but I picked them to win.
Maybe so.
Terrence is in San Diego. Hey, Terrence.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for taking my call. I'll try not to take up another 3 hours like that last call.
Thank you, Terrence.
Do you have 12 points to get to? Is this a 12-step program?
He had some pretty good points, so we let him go.
Not really.
Points about this game, but I'm going to kind of take Andy's side. God help me with this, because I don't know what the hell to think about this and this game, but I think I'm kind of pissed. The game should have been put away, I think, long before it had to be pulled out of the fire by Tom Brady. I mean, first and goal at the 4. We kill Marvin Lewis for running it into the line 3 times, but and then we do it and look like incompetent players, I think. We couldn't execute a trick punt on the return.
Well,
that looked ridiculous.
The whole idea of doing it was questionable. Yeah.
Well, I don't even care about
the idea,
but pull out. You got to pull out. Pull out. Don't give up. Stop.
I agree with what Terrence said. The execution of the play was, I mean, do you have trick plays? I'm all for trick plays.
And Edelman knew he screwed up. I mean, he said, I should have just eaten that ball, and he got lucky that Tlaib recovered.
In points, it doesn't even look like a Patriots team of old. You know, Dobson can't catch. Brady misses a wide-open Amendola down the field. The Amendola-Welko situation seems to be turning into a debacle, but we're still 5-1, so I don't know what the heck to think. But my last point, guys, is... hey, Brady, Grandma called and she wants her lace curtains back. I mean, what the heck is he wearing?
A sweater at the end? Yeah.
What, is he raiding Eric's wardrobe? Hey, thanks for taking my calls, guys.
All right, thanks.
You guys do a great job.
Yep.
Plus,
thanks,
is now the time to wear that? Like,
well, last week it was 70 degrees out. He had a turtleneck on.
Yeah, I don't really...
you know.
It's like the fall line of Brady is now out. So
I know, but I don't like those sweaters with the big collars.
He does it a lot, though, right?
Yeah, he does.
Over the years?
Yeah.
Didn't have a hat, though. Usually, I think he usually wears the hat with the sweater, the I don't even know what the kind of hat is called that sits on top.
Yeah.
Scally cap.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the little Irish hat.
He hasn't worn that in a while, though.
Well, because he has a new haircut. He has to make sure everybody can see it.
Yeah.
He was with his he had his son on Sunday, so I knew that was going to be a quick one. All right, guys.
Yeah.
Hey, what point does his son say, Dad, what are you wearing?
You're not going to make me dress like that, are you? You know how you always you dress your kids up. You look at like your kids' pitches when you were real little.
All right. Well, we have a ton of emails coming in, understandably, at webradio@patriots.com. Paul's going to take a break.
I'm sorry.
I thought you were taking a break.
We
didn't order food.
I was going to actually go look into that.
It's a little late. Yeah. All right.
Do not want to do
you
it?
Can go ahead. Sure.
Oh.
No, you guys will be total bitches during the TV show if you don't eat.
Oh, that's true.
He doesn't even remember a brilliant comeback
years ago. Go eat. You guys will be awful to deal with.
I can't even eat after this because of the show.
Yeah, you need to eat.
Our media demands.
No, big time. We're so big that Paul's getting free food at the Topps Field Fair because he's a celebrity.
We had good ratings last week, too.
No, we didn't.
Once again.
We came in first, but we didn't have great ratings.
But, you know... For the show like that, those are good.
Oh, we dominate the network. We dominate the little football block. We dominate all that. But I want to start comparing ourselves to, like,
real shows. Well, get off that. You got to get off cable then.
Yeah, we do need to be on broadcast TV.
Yeah.
What do you want?
Where are you going?
We'll go to Omega for you. For you, father.
I guess I'll have a small cheese. Sam in Chicago writes, I've never listened to the postgame show, but after Sunday's kick-ass victory, I wanted to stay in the mix and hear some reactions besides Zoe screaming his head off, where's the beef, Brady's back. I have to say, Kevin was really good at breaking down plays, adding thoughtful analysis, and having a strong point of view.
Why was Kevin on the postgame show?
I always talk.
Yeah, it's a one-guy show. Your producer chimes in.
So why didn't he just do the show?
He might have to someday. But we like bringing it's in the radio guys because now they go back to their real jobs and they talk it up and it's good.
It's good. We have people on our side, Andy. That's what
does
you
he
want.
Have a real job?
And Scott really
he works
liked
for
it.
EI. Yeah. He's on air.
Scott really liked it.
How often is he on air? He made it sound like he
does the flash and then he does like Red Sox Rewind after the games after Rich is done. Yeah.
He did a good job.
Oh, he was solid.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought he did a good job coming in midstream, and we're not the easiest guys to kind of just hit the ground running with sometimes. Once he turned his mic on after not turning it on to start the show, he was fine.
Well, let's be fair. Beatle and Jones had trouble with that
these professional radio guys because they assume everybody else is going to handle it for them.
Well, yeah, there is a format that they follow and you guys break, so.
Oh, we break it every 30 seconds. Yeah, all the time.
Two, can you explain what happened on the sideline during last Sunday's game between Brady and Edelman? Monday Night Football showed it again last night during Come On Man outtakes. The clip showed Brady sitting on the bench during the game, and Edelman walks by. Brady puts his hand out for a high five, and Edelman ignores him and keeps walking without slapping his hand. Did Julian not see the gesture, or is he fed up about something else on the field?
I can only assume he didn't see it.
I did see that.
I saw it, but you don't really see Edelman's head. So you don't know where he's looking.
Right.
I can only assume he was going somewhere for some water, and wasn't looking at Brady.
But Brady had like a kind of a funny reaction to it,
Well, it's that awkward time. You know, it's awkward for any situation when you go to like shake somebody's hand and they don't see you, or you wave and the person
is. I'd like to see that again because I thought I saw like Edelman's arm kind of like close to his body, like it was hurt, and then Brady realized, oh, he can't extend his arm.
See, I just think they missed. There was the miscommunication, misfire. But it is funny. It's the second time this year, though, Brady. Remember in the preseason or the regular season that he got caught checking some girl out? Remember he was like looking at a girl on the sideline and the cameras cut? He's going to be careful with what he's doing on the sideline. They're always on him.
The eye of the sky never lies. Peter in Maryland says, well, to be fair, it wasn't Zolak who made it a memorable quote. Now I understand those moments of eye-rolling sighs from Paul and Andy during a close tension-filled second quarter with thousands monitoring each play, Fred posts, Rob Ryan's hair looks like the Little Mermaid's in slow motion.
That's why I like Fred.
Ryan's face after the touchdown was classic.
Well, they have robryansface.com now. I swear to you, they do, and they have the gif of Rob Ryan.
That was a tough way to lose if you're the Saints.
Oh, I just love it because he really thinks that he's the reason they win. So when they lose, it's hard
not to give them a lot of credit for their defensive turnaround.
Going from like second worst to third best or whatever.
Historically, the worst defense in the history of football. They gave up the most yards ever in a season.
Well, what about the return of Sean Payton?
That's a factor. But I'm talking about defense.
No, I know, but Sean Payton's the head of coach.
But he's the offensive head of coach.
He's a head of coach, but he's an offensive coordinator.
I think he's given the whole team a lift.
Of course he has.
As I said, it's one of the rare times we were right when we just assumed that a guy coming back would make a team better and function better, and it's worked out.
Mike in Cutter says, what a glorious victory. For now, I will enjoy the win and wait with the nitpicking until John Brady should be traded Rook comes on.
John was not happy with on Twitter, by the way.
No?
Calling people numbskulls.
Well, he's not happy with the characterization.
He just blocked them like Eric
did. I'm not sure he has still really expressed his he meant last week to be and what it actually turned
into.
Like
I said.
Yeah, but he did try to express it, but
he didn't like do anything to really poo-poo it.
Right.
He sort of backed it up. By making comments like Jameis Winston and Taj Boyd would have a better chance to complete passes to these guys, you're saying that you want to change.
Right.
But I even thought of it most on not the runs. He had the couple runs on the first drive, but the play that Amendola dropped badly, I thought was like an athletic move. Brady stepped up into the pocket, and while he was moving forward on the run, kind of gunned it, and unfortunately, it bounced off Amendola's face, which is what happens with half the balls Brady throws this year. But
and he says it's not necessarily a mobility thing. It's this ability to sort of make a threat or something to get out of the pocket. You know, it's not about getting out of the pocket. It's like you said, it's delivering the ball, and these guys consistently aren't catching them. You can make every game, you can make a couple of examples, and there was one deep down the seam to Amendola that he just overshot him. He was wide open.
Yeah.
He missed him. That's on Brady. And I'm not dismissing Brady of any of the problem, but to say that he's the problem,
asinine.
I mean, come on. You're not watching.
That's alligators and meat dogs.
It was good to see him run. When you see wide open field,
unicorns and show ponies.
When you see wide open field in front of you, you got to take those yards, and he did.
Well, this is the thing that you fixate on, and it absolutely is absolutely meaningless.
It was a big, big lift to the team.
No, it wasn't.
I actually told Paul I would have taken him out of the game if I was one of the defenders, because one of them was, he was running like inside the red zone, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I said, it's a half the distance to the goal penalty, so I don't even give up a lot of yardage. I'm just going to knock him out of the game, and I'm going to win the rest of it. Like, he doesn't make his money, and he's not at any value to anyone running with the football.
I will say this, though. What is up with the fans, in quotes, at Gillette Stadium? Why would you ever leave before the game is over? Shame on them. They should be making infernal noise to help the defense as long as there's a chance for the Patriots to come back. F the Jets.
That's right.
I do think there was a math problem after the pick. I think people didn't think the Patriots could get the ball back. I think they just got caught not really realizing how much time was left.
So you're right, Paul. The fans are stupid.
I'm giving the fans a little bit of a break.
I just think they give up too easy.
But how did they
think
all get
our
wrong?
Fans are fickle.
They didn't all get it.
How do 40,000 people get it wrong?
Well, first of all, there's an element of fans that aren't at the final gun of any game.
Those are the stupidest of the stupid.
Okay. But I think that when you go for it on 4th and 6, the previous drive and fail, and then get the ball back again and throw a pick, you're thinking to yourself, well, clearly the coach didn't think they were going to get the ball back either. So if I'm going to leave, listen, I think they screwed up.
And
at
what point?
I think it was a math problem.
What do you gain there? Like, are you really gaining anything? Because you and everybody else is leaving right now. So,
well,
like,
are
you
there
in
some people that wanted to get to Fenway that might have had tickets to both, but you're sitting in traffic anyway.
You weren't getting to Fenway.
Yeah, no. You weren't doing it. And
the game started before the Patriots game was over.
Yeah. Stupid. I just don't understand it. Sports is all about unscripted. You don't know how it's going to end.
By the way, Red Sox started 4 today.
Yes.
Correct.
In case anyone wants to know.
I thought it was F the Red Sox, let's talk football. Now you're giving out game time?
Alex in Philly says,
you got a little excited the other night when Poppy hit the Grand Slam, as did I.
Well, I don't know how you couldn't.
Alex in Philly, unicorn show ponies, random things that pop into our heads. Where's the beef? Great call by Zoe, an even better win by the Patriots. Shame on me and everyone who either left the stadium or changed the channel after Brady threw the interception. We should know better.
Now, that I really don't get. If you're sitting on your couch, why are you changing the channel?
I now believe this D is legit. We stifled a great offense. Don't know about our offense yet, but I will continue to ride this roller coaster until something changes. However, we just can't shake this injury bug. Is Tlaib fine? He probably just as valuable as Brady at this point. I really feel sorry for Amendola. The guy was already playing with no groin, and now he gets another injury. I know the hit he took could have happened to anybody, but these things always seem to happen to him. I hope that $2 million in flexibility was worth it for Bill, because Amendola cannot replace Welker. Whether you want to call him injury prone, prone to injury, or anti-healthy, Amendola and injuries are one and the same. Please mercifully put him on IR and move on. And could someone ask John Rook if he would trade Brady for Thaddeus Lewis?
He got hurt too in that game?
Who?
Thad Lewis?
Yeah.
Is that right?
I saw they signed Matt Flynn.
Yeah, he got hurt.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're expecting it to not be a big deal, but yeah, he got hurt.
Phones are ringing again. Drew's in Connecticut. Hey, Drew.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, I just wanted to know what you guys thought of Ridley's impact in the running game, because I thought when he first entered the game, he showed like a good burst. I don't know if that's just from not being in there as much in the past weeks or not.
He definitely brought a burst. I think he went for a nice little scamper on his first play in there.
Yeah, I think it was a big run in his first play.
And he, you know, it's weird for a guy who missed a game last week with an injury, a knee injury, a leg injury, but he certainly looked like he had a spark. And he had a lot of comments post-game talking about, you know, it's teaching him patience and it's learning experience and this whole thing. And it's what I asked Bill about, and he totally poo-pooed me, but the guy was a 1,200-yard rusher who has struggled a little bit to start the year and is now part of a committee backfield.
Well,
that's a big change.
It's a good thing that Ridley's sort of a free spirit. You know, he kind of takes life, you know, having fun, because I think a guy maybe a little tighter wound would not be able to handle what he's been going through.
And I do think that it bothered him, you know, based on his comments.
Well, I think it bothered him.
I think it would bother any human being.
Absolutely.
You were the starter. You were the 300-carry guy, and you were very productive. It's not like you struggled. You weren't really good. You were – and you got to think going into the next year, okay, it's my spot.
Right.
You know, I'm the back.
Right.
And he wasn't.
And then you fumble.
Right.
You know. All right, Drew, thanks for the call. Let's go to Andrew in the Ukraine. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, I just was able to get on now, so I'm sure you guys discussed a couple of these things.
Wait, are you actually in the Ukraine calling us?
I just come back on vacation. I'm in Minnesota right now.
Oh, so technically you're not anywhere near the Ukraine.
Yeah, but that's how we know him.
No, but I didn't know if we had a Ukrainian number.
No. I didn't get to use it yet. I'm over there on 7 time zones away, so it's really difficult to listen live.
See.
But if I recall, Minnesota's announcers are not really professional.
No.
I think they were the ones.
There's a lot of them that aren't really professional.
Yeah.
But now
we
have
one. Over here, they're killing Zoe. And one guy, and I agree, I think Zoe has Tourette. Nothing he made. The only thing worse than his call was his attempt to explain it on NFL.com. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, no.
He was talking about, like, the Boston Red Sox and old ladies, and it was crazier than his explanation. Yeah, he was talking about the Red Sox comeback, which happened after his call, and completely random stuff. And
yeah, he's weird. He should just say, fine. I'm an emotional ex-player, and that's, you know, I'm a frat guy. Yeah. Take me as I am.
I have two girls, and I always think of unicorns and show ponies.
See, the excitement isn't what I find strange.
And
it's,
I don't even
it's
mind
when he yells.
Yeah, the Brady's back is fine to me. If you think Brady's been questioned, but I don't get the where's the beef, just throwing random phrases.
Right.
Well, like, that's your quarterback. Like, Brady's back, baby. You know,
the legend or
fine.
Something.
Yeah. And the excitement, the excitement is fine. I think that's contagious. You can't help but be excited in that.
No,
kind of
I want my home guy to be excited, but I also want to know, like,
what happened?
What happened?
Yeah.
Well, that is lost a little bit, that the color commentator's job is to bring clarity to the play, to, like, explain exactly how he got open.
Poor Bob, he jumped all over Bob.
Right, well, he jumps all over whoever he's with.
I would kill for someone like Fordway or someone, like, competent to get the job, but
I think Bob Soucy's very good.
I'm talking about replacing Zoe.
A lot of people talk about Matt Chatham.
That should be Paul and Andy.
Come up when his review's up. Yeah. I had another question for you. Whose face was worse, Rob Ryan or Eric Stellavino's in the press box when they came back?
I thought Paul was mad because as soon as Brady hit the pass, Paul literally ran out. I thought they were giving away food again.
I did not run.
I never saw you move so fast.
I picked
you did sprint out of there.
No. What happened was, on the pick, and you want to call me a fraud fan like everybody else, I'm guilty as charged. On the pick, I thought the game was over. I had packed up my computer, I had everything in my bag, and then I turned and I was like, oh, well, and I looked at Andy, I go, you know, they could still get the ball back. And we sat down and we watched the rest of the game. But now I have everything all ready to go. So as soon as the touchdown happened, I picked up my bag and I walked to the elevator. And then I turned around and was like, nobody with me. I ended up getting on the elevator with the director of college scouting, John Robinson, and two of the scouts, Bob Quinn and Matt Smith, a different Matt Smith. Oh, I'm sorry, Brian Smith.
Right.
Really a different Smith. And I ended up getting on the elevator, and I was like joking around with them. I'm not going to say what we talked about, but I ended up joking around with them as we were going down. And Andy ended up coming down a little bit later on the next elevator.
No, but you left real quick.
But what I ended up getting to see was just – unbelievable. You talk about the Rob Ryan face. Unbelievable. I mean, we got caught in the middle of it too as the Saints were going into the locker room.
Oh, yeah.
That was as devastated a regular season loss team as I've ever seen.
I almost actually got forced into the Saints locker room. I was walking with the players. For some reason, they didn't close off. They usually stop us over here, let the player. They didn't. So I was just walking through, and Grubbs or whatever his name, there was like three or four, and I was between like offensive linemen. And then when we got to the visitors' locker room, there was a wall of security making basically an exit ramp to usher them into the locker room. And I'm like, I'm just walking in, and I'm like, I'm going to get stuck in the Saints locker room. I'm going to get Peyton's postgame.
And I was in a similar situation, and all
through.
I could think of is that I'm going to break through this line right now because I need to get through, and all I could think was getting in trouble from a security guy. That's all I was thinking.
All I could think of is it would be like the Visa commercial part two, but I'm like wearing a Patriots thing in the middle of the coach yelling.
That would be funny is, you know, Peyton Manning's giving the somber after game speech, and there's Andy with his big head
and his Patriots Football Weekly shirt on. Well, I would have been like covering my ID, covering my, like, just standing in the middle. And then they go, who the f*** are you?
It was uncomfortable because the same exact thing. And then, you know, when all the equipment trucks are in the concourse, there's no room.
Right.
So there's only just like a little, really only room for one person width-wise.
Yeah.
Even with, you know, regular size person.
I can't make a joke about you.
I was going to say, Andy, insert joke here.
But I was walking with like Ben Grubbs, who literally was like the width of the hallway.
Let's go to Chester in Portland. Hey, Chester.
Hey, guys, what's up? You know, before I start, I just got to say, someone needs to pull the flaps off of those desks in that press box. it was funny, though. As a home fan, I loved it, but I can see the criticism. Man, how sweet it is to be 5-1. You know, as I said last week, these Saints are a different team outdoors, you know, and I think this coaching staff did a fantastic job just, you know, leveling that playing field. Shame on all those fans who left. I mean, it was just embarrassing for us nationwide to, you know, would have given anything to be at that football game. I mean, the game of the week, self-proclaimed by Fox. And, you know, I'll tell you what, you know, if Troy Aikman had the chance, he would have been bouncing early, too. I mean, that guy was mailing in before anybody else.
Ah. But,
man, watching the national broadcast out here in the West. But, you know, we question all this play calling at the end of the game. You know, to me as a casual fan, it was clear that there were some situational decisions that were unbeknownst to me, you know, just going for the fourth and sixth and, you know, not allowing the Saints to chop up clock, I think was just such a smart move there in hindsight. But, you know, this team, man, takes another step with their confidence, you know, and again, it just the situations of winning these tight games, you know, for these young players, to me, I just think is so valuable. But, you know, the big takeaway for me, guys, you know, shutting down Breeze, Graham, and Colson in one game. Guys, this is the seventh and eighth Pro Bowlers, the top-shelf Pro Bowlers that we've shut down this season on defense. I mean, you think about Spiller, Doug Martin, Vincent Jackson, A.J. Green, Julio Jones. I mean, if this defense isn't for real, I mean, come on. I mean, I know we've had some questionable opponents early, but this is really impressing me.
Well,
and
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Come on, Fred.
I was just going to say, I'm becoming a believer in Arrington, guys. I mean, I guess money talks, but, man, this guy's really starting to show something in that secondary to me, you know. Go ahead. I don't know if you have any comments on that. I know I'm kind of
firing off, on the defense – there's no doubt Tlaib is for real, and he's making a big difference.
But I was willing to say the defense was for real.
Yeah.
I don't know what the defense is going to look like in the coming weeks. That's, to me, if you're a Patriots fan, the most disappointing part is, I think you finally said what Chester just said. This rundown isn't fake. We're far enough in. Matt Ryan, Drew Brees, we've done it enough, a quality competition.
Yeah.
But now, unfortunately, you don't know what you're going to get in the coming weeks.
As far as Arrington, I think we all like Arrington in the role he's in now. The problem is when the injuries start
if
happening.
If Tlaib goes down, he's in an increased role.
And he has to play on the outside there consistently, what happens to him. But, I mean, he does a fine job in his current role.
Well, I actually like Arrington.
To take care of Graham for the rest of the game when Tlaib went down, that impressed me. And I agree, going outside is always a concern for me. But, you know, something tells me that Logan Ryan's going to be in the plan there. You know, Tlaib is out for extended time. I mean, we do catch a bounce, you know, having the Jets next week, although it is a divisional opponent. We never take those games lightly.
It's a break.
I've got big worries on depth, too, but, you know, I just feel like guys are stepping up. I think, if anything, I'm worried about what's coming in for sub-packages now. But, you know, after this one, you know, guys, I've been saying all offseason, I want this team to have some balls, you know, and I feel like they're really stepping up to the plate as a unit. You know, Chandler Jones with that last-minute swipe sack was so money. It was so nice to see him, you know, step up, and I feel like every game he's improving, but I'm pumped. What a magical day for Boston sports. You know, hope everybody really soaked it up. And for all you fans that left early, shame on you again. I'm ashamed to be a fan when I see guys like you leave. So with that said, guys, big firm Dave Cazzoli fist pump, and I say go Pats. Jets suck.
All right, Chester. Out. Chester in Oregon.
You're not worried about the Jets game at all? Just
no.
The AFC East thing?
The Jets game is our offense versus their defense. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and that's it.
Their defense.
I'm not
is
worried about
good.
Our defense against their offense.
And their defense is pretty good.
Yeah,
they held you to 2.3
a
carry.
But I think our offense is getting better. Ridley's back.
What's our offense?
Right. Can I just
Ridley's
ask,
back.
I don't think that,
who's playing receiver.
I don't think the Patriots can lose either, Fred. But okay, so it's just our offense against their defense. If, and this is a big if, because we have no idea. It's only Tuesday. If you have no Wilfork and no Kelly, no Mayo. No Tlaib.
Right. I'm still good.
Okay.
No, as Boyne.
What makes you think that the defense is just going to continue to play the way it did in the first five games.
Because the Jets stink.
For six games now, five.
We'll
six
be fine
games.
Against the Jets.
The Jets do stink, now, Fred, but they've demonstrated the ability to move the ball and score against bad defenses.
The week after that, I worry, but next week is a good game for us. It's a good spot.
It's a good spot to be, if you have to
it's
miss Tlaib.
It's a field advantage for us over
if,
in
if
the
you,
Meadowlands.
If you're missing Tlaib for a game, this is a good game to have him be missing because it's probably a team that even if you play badly on defense, won't be able to take full advantage. But I'm with
what
Andy.
What if you only score 13 points? Or I mean, this defense has already proved to you.
What if
that
the Jets score 30? The Jets scored 30 2 weeks ago against Atlanta, a defense that's ridiculously banged up and not playing well. I don't know what this defense looks like without all those guys.
Belichick, now that he's seen what the Jets are doing this year.
So Mike Nolan doesn't know what he's doing?
Yeah.
All of a sudden?
This will be, you know what this is a good week for? To get a feel for MetLife Stadium and the environment.
Are you
going
to be picking the Jets?
I just said I don't think the
he's
Patriots.
He's never going to pick against
so
the Patriots
you,
again.
What are you
he's been
about?
Castrated.
Okay. I know.
Because I'm concerned about the depth. I don't know how you can't
I
be.
Am too, but not this week.
But I am any week because I don't know how the defense looks without all of those guys. Tlaib, to me, was the Patriots' best player in the first six games.
They're going to win. They're going to win this week.
Okay. So. I just don't understand why we can't talk about it. What do we have?
I didn't say you couldn't talk about
it. There's a lot of things we can't talk about all of a sudden, Andy.
Matt's What's in that? New Hampshire. He knows unicorns and show ponies, he says.
Yes, it all stems from when Zolak was the sideline guy on the preseason broadcast with Don Crickey and Randy Cross. And it was a full moon. Randy Cross said something about werewolves that was moronic, as he does. And then Zolak chimed in with, yeah, we're going to be seeing some unicorns and show ponies, too. And then they were silent for like 10 seconds. And then the other thing is...
Thomas, Bruschi, and Colvin.
Yeah, yeah. Thank God they're gone. We're all waiting eagerly for Eldridge to call in about the receivers. Ken Brell, two times Tompkins, and Aaron Dropson. So I'll be
did you watch
setting an example for all the callers, and I'll just hang up right now because they go on for far too long, Fred.
All right. Well, sorry, Matt. Matt, New Hampshire.
Yeah, wait, so it he wasn't also funny. Did that on the San Francisco game, the unicorns and show ponies, by the way.
Did he?
Zolak.
So he's just going to continue to say something that makes no sense, isn't funny, and adds nothing to the broadcast.
Yeah, no, he's a repeat guy.
That could be like one of those things that, you know.
Love you, Zoe.
You're damn Skippy.
I actually do.
It's like, what does that mean? You're damn Skippy. But people adopt it.
So in 10 years, people are going to be saying, choke ponies and
I
unicorns.
I would like to think, Fred, if you were.
You're damn Skippy.
You know, doing this on.
What does that mean?
The Patriots flagship station. I would like to think that you would sort of, you know.
Strippers, look that up.
Keep some of those things out on a regular basis. You know, your Jake Steele-isms probably wouldn't seep into a broadcast.
That's an actual phrase, right? You're damn Skippy.
I mean, it wasn't used here first.
Right.
I know that.
Oh,
I
never heard that
Skippy.
In my life. Except,
I have.
Except for when Fred said, I didn't say you didn't. I just said
I just
never
assumed
heard
it was like.
No, I heard
you
it
know,
from somewhere else.
Happy as a
I got
clam
it from you.
And yeah. That there's like more to it. You know, happy as you look those up and it's
happy
like
as a clam.
At high tide because at low tide they are exposed and clammers come and get that. Like you right. Look them up on the internet now, you can find any of these.
Right.
So I assume your damn Skippy, there's something there.
Well, what's the origin of your damn Skippy?
Okay.
I hope it says, like, Fred Kirsch once uttered this. And, like,
Patrick.
That's what I thought up until this very moment.
No, I had heard it. I don't know what it means.
Patrick in Brooklyn, hey. Which is the new Manhattan. Hey, Patrick.
Yeah, definitely new Manhattan. Property values are just soaring. Good place to be, by the way.
Yep.
Nice.
All right, couple things. The rookie Chris Jones and the interior with, I guess, is the other guy's name Joe Villano or whatever?
Yeah,
correct.
Yep.
Very impressed with both of them. I think Chris Jones is going to be a player.
He could be.
Just
Chris Jones played every
I've
snap in that game, according to Mike
something
Reese.
Different, but he looks good to me.
Yeah.
And he is the more thought of, even though it's funny he's bounced around. He was drafted. The Patriots tried twice to claim him and has a little bit better of a resume and clearly has some pass rush ability.
And
I like him. He really impressed me on the pass rush side. Regarding Ridley, I agree with what you guys said earlier. The other backs are good backs, but when you ask them to come in and perform in more of a just a reduced role, then you begin to see that they look more ordinary than they do. Ridley has explosiveness to his game, and the entire offense is completely different with him in the backfield as opposed to the other guys because he's just, you know, that much more explosive. And then the last point I wanted to bring out to you guys is, you know, the play of the secondary. Now, I think the biggest thing with the secondary compared to years past is that the two guys on opposite corners, Tlaib and the other guy, Dennard, is that these guys really play the ball. Years ago, you'd see the Pat DBs, and they'd be like running around with a man and never finding the ball. The other guy, Dennard, he is really an aggressive player. And hopefully he doesn't get locked up in Nebraska, because if he's out, you're gonna notice it.
Yeah, he as much as he gave up that touchdown, he was right there, and he said he should have gone up with two hands because he thought he had the place defended, and he didn't. He gave up the touchdown. But
yeah,
I like his ball skills.
You know, you couldn't fault him. If there was anyone I would have faulted, it was the guy bracketing. I think it was Gregory.
Gregory seemed a hair late.
Yeah, I thought he was too, but I agree with what Dennard said. I think he probably should have made the play on that because I don't think his coverage was that bad. I love the way he plays.
It's a great pass.
And Andy and I have talked about this since we saw him. He got a little bit of a late start as a rookie. He's like Ty Law. He's very physical, and he plays. He gets right up in the guy's grill, and he's not afraid to get beat. And that's how you have to play.
Yeah.
He'll tackle him. Lastly, I wanted to ask you guys what you felt about the pass rush with the guy Buchanan, and what's the story with the rookie that was the second draft pick or the first draft pick. He comes out of a smaller school. He's a pass rush guy or a linebacker. I haven't seen much of him.
Jamie Collins.
Oh, Collins?
Yeah. Thank you guys very much, and keep the good work.
I don't know. He was a pass rush guy. Yeah,
but Jamie, he said a smaller school.
He said a smaller school. He said the top pick. Nothing equated to Beckett.
Yeah, Collins might see some action this week.
Unfortunately,
if Mayo's out, you could see Hightower maybe move in, and Collins plays that outside role. So this could be his debut.
Your linebackers are going to get a little shakeup this week, not just in terms of the play, but, Mayo is the guy in terms of calling all the defenses and that. So be interesting. We saw the resurgence this week again of more Brandon Spikes. That may be the norm moving forward, almost regardless of what they're doing in terms of scheme. You may need him.
Colin in Belgium writes in, I think the injury situation has officially gotten ridiculous. Even forgetting all the offseason losses, we're being decimated. If you'd made a most indispensable list in the opening day roster, it could have gone 1, Brady, 2, Gronkowski, 3, Tlaib, 4, Wilfork, 5, Mayo, 6, Amendola, 7, Kelly. Guess what? Except for Brady, all injured. If our opponents made a list and could request, say, 6 injuries, that's what we'd get. Who's next? I can see how Brady could get hurt.
Don't ask.
I'm betting the next crippling injury is Bill Belichick. I'm not sure how yet. Maybe Michael Holly finally flips out during their weekly interview, leaps across the table, and stabs him with a pen. I can see it now. I don't know how you could ever do that, Michael. It's just so irresponsible. You can never coach that way. And then, Holly goes postal right there on the air. It never worked, though. It's just a situational interviewing scenario for Bill. I'm sure he'd be ready. He'd just cut Holly with the switchblade he keeps in his sock next to the challenge flag and leave him bleeding in the booth while he stares down Salk on his way out the door. Good email, Colin.
That was a very good email.
You know what's interesting, though, is that list of the most indispensable players is probably not...
Yeah, Kelly, felt...
Kelly might be high
and
at 7.
And Chandler Jones not being in there felt a little...
But that's...
if you told us Wilfork was going to be out, you'd be like, okay, Kelly's value has just elevated.
But I'd worry that if this was really like an unlucky hit list, Chandler Jones should watch out.
Yeah, I would have Chandler Jones and Ninkovich probably ahead of Kelly, but you could make an argument for those guys.
I'm knocking on wood here, guys.
Because Brady doesn't get hurt.
Paul, to even add to your fear, Adam Schefter reporting that the Jets just signed Josh Cribbs.
It's not adding to my fear.
There you go. Speed demon.
All right. Lucky's in Springfield. Hey, Lucky.
Hey, guys, what's going on? How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, let's go. Bring a little energy. Come on. Jack it up,
man.
Bring on the energy. Man, listen, I almost had a heart attack on Sunday twice. Once when Brady threw the pick, and then once when we got that touchdown. It was crazy.
Well, you recovered, I hope.
I'm
he
good.
He said almost.
No, I was just from the excitement. It was crazy.
I hear you, bro.
You know, the whole weekend was great.
Unicorns
and
showcones.
Won. Patriots won. It was a good weekend.
You can't get much better than Boston sports this weekend.
No. No, you can't get. Well, I don't really do baseball, but.
But even if you don't really do baseball, just seeing the highlights of that excitement, you have to.
Yeah, through the highlights of the whole excitement. It's been a good weekend. It's been a good season so far. So hopefully everything turns out well.
All right, what do you got?
Nothing. I was just wondering about, obviously, with Danny Amendola getting hurt. Do you think we're going to pick up anybody else As far as receivers, do you think they would trade for anybody? I know that there have been talk about, like, Hakeem Nixon and Kenny Britt or
none of these guys seem to be – these teams – I guess the price on Britt is really high.
I would love to get Hakeem Nixon. I have no interest in Britt.
I would take any talented receiver.
Can you
imagine,
though, like, I don't know what's going on with the Giants fans and that whole media. I don't really read the New York newspapers, but, you know – you don't see them making fun of them like they do the Jets when the Jets have problems for some reason. But if they ever gave up Knicks, that's it. I mean, they're obviously mailing in the season, and I wonder what the reaction is.
The season's over.
The season's over, and I don't think you're mailing in. I think you're trying to maximize.
They're
going to
win all 10 of their games?
You're kind of trying to maximize a chip. You can get something for a guy you're going to lose. I have no problem with that.
What would you give up for Knicks?
Second rounder.
I would probably give up a second rounder. You know, that round where we really don't end up with much anyway, so you might as well go.
I don't have to make it a negative like Andy does.
But Scott Pioli continues to say the Patriots are looking for a receiver. The Patriots, who did he bring up with the? He brought up Knicks as somebody. He brought up your guy, the possibility of trading for Emmanuel Sanders. The Patriots were interested in him. Steelers are out of it.
Right.
Maybe they revisit
but
that and
trade
for him.
I think he's just speculating. I don't think he's heard anything.
Oh, you know, he made it sound like he's hearing the Patriots are looking for receivers.
I read that, and it just
I think the words he uses, it's no secret the Patriots are actively looking for receivers.
Right, but
if he's just speculating, that's inappropriate use of the English language.
As far as Sanders, he based it on the fact that they had given him an offer.
The individuals
that he brought up,
he is clearly hearing.
He said they're looking for a receiver.
The Patriots are looking for a receiver. And that, to me, has only elevated now that Amendola is totally banged up. Edelman is starting to look like Edelman does as the season wears on him, and the rookies still look like rookies.
Yeah. All right, Lucky, thanks for the call. It's 121, and we've been going strong without a break. We're going to take one right now, and we'll be right back.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest prices on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance, dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios triple play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I had this dream. I was in this, it was sort of like a cafeteria setting with big glass windows, and a lot of people there were people that we worked with and like on the travel party. So we're looking, and there's this weather coming, and it's like dark clouds, and it turns into this tornado. So I'm like, everybody get away from the windows. We get away from the windows, and trees are coming down, but luckily nothing happened. So then that passes, and then we decide that, okay, dinner is coming soon, but a lot of us wanted to work out after dinner, so this cafeteria turns into a hotel. And now a lot of us have to go up in the elevator to get our gym stuff, because after we eat, we're going to work out. So we get in the elevator, and it's a bunch of people, and one of them's Gino. And Gino has no pants on, Gino Capoletti. And his unit is attached to his hip.
Hello.
And it was like,
hello.
It was like a weird deformity, like that no one ever knew about, but there it was. It's like, and my thoughts going through my mind was, how does he like explain that to women?
Why are you having dreams about Gino's unit?
Thanks, it was attached to his hip.
I don't care where it's attached. Why are you thinking about his unit?
I don't know. I don't know. It was just a weird dream.
That was Story Time with Fred Kirsch.
Next week, you're going to tell Gino this story, right? Please.
No. And you better not bring it up either.
All right, back here in PFW Progress, Paul has gone to do a phone hit with the enemy. He's on with Jets Radio right now.
Tom Brady could throw a ball through a Fruit Loop today.
Sam in Chicago may have the origin of your damn Skippy. He or she is. Have we determined if Sam in Chicago is a male or female?
Your damn Skippy.
I think it's a he.
Oh, he. Anyway, he says the term is a direct reference to the TV show Skippy the Bush Kangaroo, which I used to watch when I was a kid.
Skippy the Bush? I never heard of it.
Yeah, the theme says Skippy, Skippy, Skippy the Bush Kangaroo.
Roll tape.
Kangaroos in Australia are seen as road hazards and not the cuddly American perception. In periods of drought in Australia, roos are forced to find feed much closer to the civilization than normal, and the most abundant is on roadside verges as they're not grazed. This has led to a 25% increase in roadkill-related insurance claims this year. I even saw one large example propped against a pole with a baseball cap on its head. So the phrase, "you damn Skippy," is uttered seconds before the down-under driver hits a kangaroo. Okay. And then Brian also says it's apparently a derogatory term for a white Australian, a skip or a skippy, in retaliation for another term which was used for Mediterranean Australians and immigrants, which is a wog. Not sure if this is a true origin, but this seems to be the prevailing thought. But the usage here is like confirmation. Like,
right, you're damn right.
Right. Yeah, so
it has nothing to do with calling somebody a bad name.
Right, so it's kind of weird.
You made it up, Fred, I think.
Yeah. The other Christian from Boston writes in. He says he got to start off by saying, what a way to go 5-1. I think it's pretty clear this team isn't going 9-7. And for anyone who says otherwise, Squidward, they are confusing what they want to happen for what they think is going to happen. Also, good analysis on Ridley, Fred. His nearly 100-yard performance clearly made a difference versus the Saints and might have been the difference versus the Bengals, too. Anyway, this defense, Paul had said he's skeptical on this D and wouldn't take it even over the 24th-ranked 2001 defense, and it wouldn't even be close. I think Paul should seriously reconsider after this win. The way the team shut down the league's most dominant receiver through 5 weeks in Graham was reminiscent of how we shut down Marshall Faulk in the Super Bowl. I know the scoreboard says the Saints had a great day on offense with 27 points, but that just is not what happened. They really struggled all day. It took Tlaib leaving the game a 30-yard touchdown on 3rd and 20 in double coverage that Dennard had nearly locked away and a gimme field goal for them to surpass 17 points scored. That was as good a defensive performance versus a good offense as we've seen in a while. I mean, Drew Brees was held to 47% completion rate and a 75 QB rating. This is the same Drew Brees who completed 80% of his passes and had 120 rating versus the Chicago Bears D and threw for 400 yards versus the Finns. This D is beyond legit. It's elite. And lastly, Chandler Jones, he's been pretty good through six games. He forces at least one holding penalty every game, creates sacks not only for him but for other players as well. He's not J.J. Watt or Julius Peppers, but he's been pretty solid for us. Patriots fans should be pleased with Jones. So
I think they are.
Yeah, I think Jones is he's starting to do what, you know, I know he's a different player, but he's starting to do what Richard Seymour did, where, you know, you look at the game and it's like, geez, you know, what did he do in that game? And then you listen to the opposing coaches and players, and they tell you what kind of impact Seymour had in the game. And that's kind of like what Jones is doing. And I think the emailer really pointed out, he's forcing penalties, freeing up guys, and then occasionally making the play himself. He's an impact player in the game, and it shows up on film more than it does in the game. But, you know, it's good stuff. What else?
No, I think Chandler's been good.
You agree? Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's been good, not great. I'm not going to say he's taken that J.J. Watt jump that we had been dreaming of.
Right.
But I think he's been good. And the other day he had, it's funny, I thought he had really good success early, was killing Charlie Brown, their left tackle, and then went quiet a little bit in the middle of the game and then got the sack later sort of on cue. I said to Paul, you know, where is he? Looks like Charlie Brown sort of settled in with Chandler Jones, and Jones made that play. Then he made the play late I thought was a very athletic play. I thought he actually bit on the boot. I thought he got sucked down. And if he hadn't been as athletic as he is, I think that would have been a first down for Drew Brees. I think the call kind of gut him, but he was able to recover and just swat out enough of Brees' foot to knock him down.
TG and NJ writes in, what an amazing finish. I was speechless. So afterwards, I wanted to get the local feedback and switch over to the post game. And there's Felge doing what he does best, raining on the parade
Give
by pushing the Gronk story. Now, I know he has to. It's his job, and he loves stirring the pot for the ratings.
I don't think there's any question about it.
But after such a win and finish, I felt that was not the time to chase that story. Guess I just wanted Troy to slap him upside the head and tell him to give it a rest till tomorrow. And does John Rook still want to get rid of Brady? Could he find a quarterback who could do more with less? Why did we let Woodhead go?
Taj Boyd.
I think John Rook's going to be fighting a lot today with his callers.
Yeah, Taj Boyd looked like dog you-know-what against Boston College Saturday,
yeah,
too.
I think Rook's in for a long
time. I watched that whole game and was like, "What is like you're playing a very mediocre 3-3 football team from BC." As a guy who goes to all the games, I expected them to lose by 3-4 touchdowns, and he did. That score, Andy, I think it was 7-3 BC at halftime, and then 14-10 BC going into the third quarter, and it took literally a strip sack, return fumble for a touchdown for Clemson to put that game away. He did absolutely nothing.
I think Rook's in trouble. I think Rook's in a lot of trouble for 2 hours today.
He's probably going to take it on the chin. He's probably been locked in the bunker preparing his defense all
night.
And
I think he's going to get frustrated because I don't think he's articulated necessarily maybe what he really wants to say. I don't know. Well, I don't want to speak for him.
I think he didn't really want to say what he originally said, and now he's trying to back out of it.
Right, yeah. And can't.
Carefully back out of it.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough day for him. I think a lot of the nitpicking is going to be picking on him in general and not the Patriots.
Vishon from New York writes in, I know we regarded the last three games as a gauntlet in the sense that the last three teams had either a cerebral offense or defense. However, I have a lot of trepidation heading into the next three games with our offense and defense banged up. We are more than likely not going to have Tlaib, Amendola, and Mayo in the coming weeks, and we have two divisional opponents that have been competitive all season. We also have the Steelers before the bye week. I feel like we can lose any of those games now that we have the key guys injured. The offense has been one of the sloppiest games against the Jets just a few weeks ago, and the Dolphins seem...
What are you doing?
No, I have, like, food in my mouth, and I didn't want to swallow because people don't like
it. You're also, like, shifting way over... Did you fart or something?
No,
like,
I
lifted
away
a cheek.
From the mic.
You lifted a cheek.
And the Jets just a few weeks ago, and the Dolphins seem to have the best shot of dethroning the Patriots as AFC East champs. Anytime the Patriots play Pittsburgh, I think it's a big ordeal. Do you guys feel that this is a tough slate ahead and that we are looking at one more loss before the bye?
I don't know if it's a tough slate, but I do have sort of the trepidation that I mean, am I being negative, Fred, to say if they didn't have these injuries, if Gronk was back or right on the verge of coming, whatever, and these other injuries weren't a concern, I would be riding high right now. I would literally be saying this team is going to compete for an AFC title. But, I mean, that guy brought it up earlier. The list of people you can't lose, they're all getting lost for the year on a team that we didn't think had a lot of depth coming into the season.
Well, not for the year yet.
Well, some.
You know, Mayo and Tlaib are not for the year.
I'm worried about Amendola.
Yeah.
A lot. The man had no groins, and now he's got no head. How do you, you know, the old thing about men, they either think with their heads or they think with their groins. What's he going to think with?
Let's see. Matt writes in. And...
Wait, you skipped over an email I wanted you to read.
Oh, which one?
Came in very early.
Let's see.
And it came from Germany, and I just wanted to see you try to read the guy's name, actually.
Oh.
It started with a G, an H, a B.
I'm trying to look for it.
Very, very early, like pre-mail.
Yeah.
Like probably around 11, 11:30, somewhere in that range.
I don't see anything from Germany here.
Well, it says right in the email, Germany.
Yeah, well,
read the email. It's the you'll see the name. G A.
Yeah, I don't.
No,
I,
no, no. In the email, it actually says it's from like Felix or something.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There is one from Felix.
And what's the name? The signature on the email.
Oh. Well, he says, I'll get to that at the end. He says, I like your work a lot, and since I'm from Germany, I usually download it the next day and listen to it while jogging after work.
I believe they call it jogging over
anyway,
there.
Anyway, what's the deal with Josh Boyce? Is he injured, or does Bill have below-zero confidence in him? I was surprised to see the Patriots would rather give Austin Collie a chance, a guy who has been sitting on the couch for quite some time. Where exactly is the value with Josh Boyce? It sucks, especially since he's the fastest Patriots receiver in Madden 25. But if he doesn't play a little bit more, they won't update any of his other ratings, which is a shame given his speed. So this guy's worried about the emailer. And his name is Beckenchetti or something from Germany, third-year listener, first-time emailer. He says it's an African name, so everybody can calm down.
Spell it for our listeners.
G-B-E-G-N-I-N-T-C-H-E-D-E. So it ends Chidi, so Beckenchetti.
You know
like
I don't speak Spanish. In English, please.
I hope you just swore an African.
Maybe, but I
noticed I said African because I don't know any specific languages.
Right. It's a continent.
Ghanaian? Ghanaian? What do they speak in Ghana? Ghanaian?
I don't know.
The Boyce thing. Clearly, he has no confidence in him. Clearly, Boyce is, we don't know of any injury. He was inactive for the first time. He has one catch all year. We see him only on the sideline, basically. He doesn't return kicks. They don't throw to him. His value should be a big play guy, end of rounds and deep balls. But I have to think he is abysmal on the practice field and doesn't know what the hell he's doing out there for a guy who's been here like 10 days to pass him up and be out there making plays at the end of a game.
Who is Josh Boyce?
Yes.
Okay. I just walked in the middle. I walked in the middle of that and I figured out who you're talking about.
Surprise!
How was your hit behind enemy lines?
With our buddy Eric Allen, who was a guest on our Patriots Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Back
he will be again, too, by the way.
And he will be our guest again this week.
Be our guest. Be our guest.
Yeah, talk a lot about, you know, yeah. I didn't bring up, you know, the fact that, you know, there's no way the Patriots could lose the game, you know.
Fred would have.
I left out the part about, you know, the other team, you know, is in the NFL. But it doesn't sound like there's a lot of hope down there. Of you know, matter of fact, Eric brought up, last year, the Jets came up to New England, had an opportunity to win a game, lost it in overtime, and then they played on Thanksgiving night, and it was a blowout. Mm. You know, he brought that up, and I was like,
boy,
yeah,
what?
I kind of think that there's a chance that that could happen again, depending on the health of the Patriots, depending on who's
depending if any of
play.
Our top seven players play.
Right.
Other than Brady, obviously he'll play.
Let's see. Matt from New Zealand writes in, hey, guys, and Eric, what is Eric wearing today, by the way?
See, that makes you sound bad when you ask what another man is wearing over the internet.
Well,
keep it to yourself in New Zealand.
I just wanted to vent to all those fair weather Patriots fans that left the stadium before the game was finished. I hear only 40% of the stands were full after that last interception. If I had my way, all their season tickets would be revoked.
Yeah, we're going to just fire them and not accept their money anymore.
Couple this with all the fans bitching and whining last week about Belichick and Tom being past it. I'm at the point I've had enough. Either support this team unconditionally or go back to whatever you would do with your Sunday afternoons before Mo Lewis had his way with Drew Bledsoe.
Isn't there a middle ground? I mean, does it really have to be unconditional?
Yes.
I would have had no problem if it was 52-2 and people said, I'm going to get home early or go watch the Red Sox.
When a team stops trying, the fans have a right to stop watching.
Or when it's just total ineptitude.
You know, but that's not, you know.
They won the game.
Yeah. Lastly, I want to point out how awesome it was that the Saints lost after the defense's little celebration on the sidelines after Tom's interception. Holding the ball up as a team and blow-assing about how they just beat the Patriots and moved to 6-0. Well, that little charade just made Tom's last second TD all the sweeter. I agree.
I saw the visual of them all holding the ball, and I actually thought it was pretty cool. I thought, you know, for people that try to talk about football as a team sport, and I thought the defense celebrating with the interception ball was kind of cool. Did they say we just won or something?
I don't know. Well done on Sunday, Patriots. What an epic result. Everyone for once truly had written you guys off, and you stuck it back to them. As always, keep up the good work and F those Jets. Matt in Waikato, New Zealand.
Andy mentioned that he thought it was cool, and I made a bounty gate crack because that's what I do.
Okay.
I made a sarcastic crack about Bounty Gate.
Let's see. Toby from New York, have you noticed how much praise the national media is giving Brady's getting this week? What would have happened if Tompkins dropped the ball? I'm sure all the talk would have been about how Brady's close to the end. It's funny how everyone's perception could swing so wildly with just one play. He is getting a lot of praise this week. Your girl, Judy Batista, who now writes for the NFL,
mm-hmm.
had a story about how he's doing so much with so little.
So she wrote about the truth.
but she's your girl.
I like her. I think she does a fine job.
But I think
she's on TV now, and she looks good on TV.
I think that's a really interesting point, though, when you bring it up. The you know, Jabari Greer mistimed his jump. What if he gets up like Dennard? I think that that play that Dennard gave up, I think if that happens 10 times, he probably breaks it up 7 or 8 and maybe picks it off a couple of times. I think Jabari Greer mistimed his jump and missed the ball. What if he picked it off? Same play. Everything was the same. What if
nothing
would have
changed for me.
No, I know, but you've been very consistent about that. I think nationally, it would have been.
I would have said, "Way to fight for the ball, Tompkins."
Brady, with three opportunities to win the game, couldn't get it done. Three chances, he couldn't get it done. That would have been the narrative. And I think the emailer makes a good point. Like one play completely changes it.
Well, yeah, I think it changes the whole Patriots season. Now, I don't know if it realistically changes it. It changes the complexion for the next 4 days of talk radio until they go out and get upset by the Jets.
Paul,
then all the negatives will be back.
We had an early emailer that says you need to rethink your thought that you would take the 2001 defense over this defense, that now they've proven that they're better.
Okay. I wouldn't.
Okay. What's it going to take for you to rethink that?
I don't know. I just think they were better. I think they had better personnel.
No, but could this defense ultimately be better than that defense?
Based on what I've seen, no.
No, I mean, you know, going forward, what would they have to do this season for you to say, you know what, they are better?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Okay, you don't want to play. All right, Anthony in London.
I can't tell when he wants me to play or not. I mean, I could play and say they gave up 27 points the other day. I don't think the 2001 defense did that very often.
But as the
when they played the Rams, they gave up, 17 in the Super Bowl.
No, I know.
Or whatever it was. Why do I forget? It's 17, that's right. Completely forgot the thing. I mean, the Rams indoors, they shut them down.
Anthony in London, given how he improved our defense through the last two-thirds of the season and the way he's played through the first third of this year, is it time to just lock Aqib Talib up long-term and try to avoid a Welker-esque contract dispute? Get him paid now before he plays himself onto another team with a contract we aren't willing to give him.
I'm not sure today is the best day to do that, given the injury. There's a little bit of a, I would think, uncertainty there, given that, you know, he did have a hip injury last year. Is this going to be an ongoing thing? Is he damaged goods? Unless you want to buy low, hopefully keep high. That didn't come out right.
let's see. Going through the
emails. Paul, would you renege on your $50 million offer this week and kind of be cautious?
No, I didn't. This is the way you just said that about the injury is right. You got to figure that out. But I assume they know. I assume they know more than I do when it comes to that injury. But I wanted to get back to the defense thing.
So he wants to play along now, Fred.
No, but I want to state that this Patriots defense is playing terrific football. That was I thought that was a really, really good performance. They really only gave up 24 points. I put I put the last three on situational with that field goal at the end. So they really only get 24 points. And I really thought they made New Orleans never really look like New Orleans the whole day. They made them really work for it. I just because I think the 2001 defense is better is not in any way an indictment on this defense. This defense is playing really, really good football. And I for one, didn't expect it. I didn't think it could be this much improved. But Talib has played at such a higher level than he played at last year that this group is much, much better than it was last year.
But this group could sway you.
Oh, yeah. He's asking me, like, what do they have to do? I don't know. If they shut out 5-team, I don't know.
But you didn't make your assessment of the 0-1 defense
exactly.
In week 7. You made it after the fact.
I probably would have said a lot of the same things.
Could roll through the Broncos in the playoffs and hold them to 3 points. It could roll through Green Bay in a Super Bowl and you say, wow, they shut down Aaron Rodgers. I mean,
but that's why I wanted to get back to it and tell you that I really think this defense is playing great. I think they're playing really good.
Flies, but
I really think they're playing really, really good football. And just as a point of comparison, when they played the Rams at home, outdoors, they gave up 24 points, just like they did to this team. And when they got them a second time, they shut them down. Maybe they do the same thing to New Orleans if they get to play them in the Super Bowl or something like that. Maybe they just shut them down the next time. I don't know.
It'll be outside in the cold, though. They won't have the fast track.
That's true.
It'll be in a blizzard, actually.
Brandon writes, and first of all, that drive by Brady will be one of the things we look back on to define his greatness. Had it been in Super Bowls, that would be great, but that's neither here nor there. Anyway, I want to acknowledge how amazed I was by Austin Colley. not because I think he's an amazing receiver that has huge future possibilities, but because of what he was able to do on that last drive. Just getting to this team, he was trusted in the hurry-up, in the final minute, and came up with two huge catches. I just spit some food out of my mouth. I don't know why. I don't know what he will have. I don't know if he'll have a huge impact for the team, but that was a clutch catch, and maybe clutch doesn't need a playbook.
Hmm. Sounds like a T-shirt. Clutch John doesn't Rook? Need a playbook. John Rook's right there if you want to talk to him.
Yeah. Let's see.
Does not have his glasses on with his headlights.
Oh. Let's see. Josh writes in, it was nice to see Brady of old. Hopefully this trend continues. These young receivers look exactly like that. Young. A lot of drops. The defense stood pretty strong this week, too, even with all the injuries, as did the offense. What do you think of going after Knicks? We talked about that. I think we'd all like to.
Sure.
You know.
Now, would you sign
I'm told that Eric has no interest in that.
Yeah, Eric has no interest. Eric only wants to trade for Larry Fitzgerald and Calvin Johnson.
Now, think about if you're Giants management, okay, above Coughlin, GM and above, if you go and have that fire sale and you get rid of Knicks, can you then, if you're thinking of it now, can you then fire Coughlin? Because you've given up on the season, can you, at the end of the season, fire Coughlin?
Yeah.
You still?
We didn't give up until after you made sure the season was already over, being 0-6. I do think it's funny that Jadeveon Clowney could end up in New York. You know, LT 2.0 could end up in LT 2.0. And, you know, if I mean, I'm assuming they're not looking for a quarterback. They still think Eli is good. I mean, I don't know what it takes for them to realize otherwise. And but you're right. I mean, who knows? Maybe this ends
by
up
they,
with a new coach.
By you mean everybody but you?
Yeah, yes. Okay. Maybe they end up with a new coach and a new star player and picking number one overall. Who knows? But my question for you, Fred, is are you're comfortable trading for Knicks even just as a rental, a Major League Baseball-like
yeah,
rental?
Yeah, so you guys say second round. I'd give a third round at the most. Yeah.
Because
I don't
he's
understand
a rental.
Your point about Coughlin. If they want to fire him, then they should want to fire him now. They're not going to fire him because they go 2-14. Like, the season's over now. So if you want to get rid of him, like Andy said, we're getting rid of you because we had a good team and you know, couldn't win a game.
Like yeah. They wanted to fire him in October of 07 before
no,
they went
like
on the Super Bowl run.
If they have that fire sale this week and...
But the failure wouldn't be because of a fire sale is my point.
No, but he
the
could
failure
say,
already
we
happened.
Turned it around before.
And they can say the fire sale happened because you failed.
But he can say, we've had bad starts before and you didn't give me a chance to turn it around this year. You know,
but I don't
you
care if they
the
turn
season.
It around this year. The season's been the season's over.
So if
I don't care if they go 8-2, they let. I mean, I don't want to fire. I wouldn't fire Tom Coughlin. I think he's a good coach. But if they want to fire him, I'm operating under the hypothetical that you've raised.
Right. But we.
I don't
told
care
that
what happens.
Always thinking of firing.
In these 10 meaningless games for them, I don't care what happens. If I already right now, if I want to fire the coach, I don't care what happens in the next 10 games.
Well, it seems to sway them. I mean, because we've always heard of Coughlin's on the hot seat, and then he. Turns it around, and now he's not on the hot seat.
But he's on the hot seat because they're like 500 when they should be a good team.
Right.
They've not been on a hot seat because they've been 0-6.
No.
And, you know, they can't even run a play without turning the ball over.
Marty writes in. He's in Belfast. Just a quick email to say how much I enjoyed the game on Sunday. Was a good win. I don't know about you guys, but I thought the offense looked a lot better. Some of that old-school Brady spreading the ball around to many different targets who caught the ball for the most part.
Really?
Quick question. I don't have the
when they win, people ignore the drops. When they lose, they magnify the drops. It's very simple.
Quick question. I don't have the stats, but how do you feel about Jones this season? Has he done enough this year to warrant it being called a year two jump? Personally, I believe he has and can only get better as the season progresses.
No, I would not call it a year two jump yet.
You wouldn't?
No. I would call it a year two advancement.
A year two advancement.
I don't think he's jumped anywhere. I think he's playing a lot like he did last year before he got hurt.
Yeah, I think he's progressed, but it's not a big jump.
It's better. Yeah. It's incremental. It's positive. It's a good sign, but it's, you know, he certainly has taken more of a year two jump than Dante Hightower has. I have not seen the year two advancement or anything from Hightower. I saw the year two DNP much last week until injuries became an issue.
Warren in London says, hey guys, and Eric, I thought I heard you that you had to wear the same helmet throughout the season on a previous show. How come Brady swapped on Sunday? Did he wear a new helmet on Sunday?
I don't know. I guess I'm not very observant. I have no idea.
Is that something people were talking about? No?
What, did he have one of the new ones on?
I don't know.
because he's had the same old helmet, and then a couple years ago he dabbled with the new ones and didn't like it and went back to his.
If it's done for safety reasons, I think they would allow you to. If you know you're using a proven safer helmet.
And I think the idea was that they can't just require the whole team to change helmets. That's not in the that's not good for safety.
Don says, why not shut Gronkowski down for the year?
Because you want him to play, and he could be healthy, and you need him, and he's really good, and you pay him to play, and Robbie wants to play. That's what his mommy said.
Yeah. What do you think about that, his mother chiming in?
At least she's on the record. I haven't heard from Gordy, right? Everybody assumes Gordy's saying a lot, but not really saying anything at all. At least Mom is on the record. Although I do think it is weird to have your parents talking in the media.
Travis in Colliersville, Tennessee. There seems to be a few questionable calls by the refs, a couple of pass interference slash illegal contacts, but the most obvious was the false start by the Saints on, I believe, 4th and 1 when 3 Patriots looked to be over the line. I know the refs let them play a little, but some of the bad calls maybe question our win a little.
Wow. Who was that?
Paul.
Paul who?
Paul Perillo.
That's unbelievable.
That was an accidental
email. Is that Travis in Tennessee?
Yeah.
Wow.
That one where they called
the offside.
False start was definitely Patriots were in the neutral zone.
That was ridiculous. Yeah. When he started, I was like, I don't think there was a single pass interference called on the Patriots in that game when the email started. And I was thinking, wow, that didn't go the way I thought it was going to go.
Okay. Dylan writes in.
I wouldn't let that question the win, by the way.
I thought we had given it away 3 separate times. I was screaming at Edelman for not making the catch at the 1 yard line. 2 plays later, KT caught the winner, so it ultimately didn't matter, and it wasn't a great pass from Brady, but you'd like to see that catch made. In the end, we outcoached and outplayed the Saints and got a W, so it was good to see. A little concerned with the offensive line play at times. I thought we were just getting dominated. No one had their best day. We also took on a lot of injuries, and if Tlaib re-injured the same hip from last year, I have concerns about the back end of our D. If nothing else, maybe Gronk won't get ribbed for so hard for not playing. Okay.
Speaking of ribs, Logan Mankins is a guy I'd keep an eye on. As Stephen Ridley absolutely plowed into him on his touchdown run at this end of the field. And by this end, I mean the press box end, which matters to nobody else except me. But Mankins had trouble actually getting off the ground, getting back to the line of scrimmage for the PAT. Even the official wanted to call a timeout on him, and he talked him out of it. So I would just keep an eye on that. He took a massive blow to the ribs or kidneys or something.
Oh, and by the way, Brady changed his helmet because he lost communication. So he had a backup.
Oh, so he didn't change his helmet.
Right.
He
had a backup helmet.
Yeah, that happens. They all have backups, I believe, all the communicators.
Did someone just give us the word on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I actually saw that. Oh, okay. I was thinking they meant he changed helmets
to start the game.
I didn't notice it.
Yeah, I actually saw that on the sideline when he was swapping them out. But those are both his helmet. He wears a helmet that's circa like 2000. He wears like this old school Riddell that he's been wearing forever, basically.
Michelle.
She likes when you call her Charlotta.
She likes it when I call her Charlotta.
You know what, though? I can't remember him having head injuries.
Well, that's what he said.
Maybe, you know.
Do you remember when he tried out? He tried one of the newer age ones with those, like, different shaped couple years ago.
Yeah.
And said, and then went back and said, I've never had head injuries, so I'm going to stick with
what I'm.
Maybe
because his helmet fits him.
Okay.
No, I'm. You know,
that was a tonal low.
Well, because I think that's part of the problem is these guys just take their helmets off without undoing their chin straps. They don't fit.
Yeah. Well, but you can't have it both ways. You make fun of Peyton Manning for his being extra tight.
I think Brady should have a different helmet for every hairdo he has.
Well, technically, you kind
of
have to.
I make fun of the red spot on Brady's head. Manning's head.
Right, because the helmet's tight.
Yeah, but it fits him. He's another one. I don't remember any head injuries with him.
Troy Polamalu's going to need a new helmet. He's getting his hair cut.
Oh, is he?
Supposedly.
Really?
I he was putting up to bid for chalk auction or something.
That's epic. John Rook's here.
Red.
How you doing, John?
What?
I don't think we can hear you.
So when Brady...
can we?
Yeah, I can hear him.
Oh.
I can't hear me.
Oh. No, he's not on.
So only Fred heard you. Fred's
there,
got special...
There it is. Hey, now John. It's working. Kevin was taking care of some
How are the
business.
Numbskulls doing?
The numbskulls? What numbskulls?
The numbskulls
you?
On Twitter that you were making fun of. It made me chuckle Sunday night.
Those who believe you were trying to run Brady out of town.
Oh, those? Yeah, well, you know, hey...
Did you have
everybody? You know, opinions are like, you know what? Everybody's got one.
So, nipples, and they don't all work.
That's true.
Were you amazed when Brady took off and started running?
Yes, I was, actually. That was excellent. And he was wide open, so he should have run.
Absolutely.
And
I
was glad to see him do it, and maybe he heard the criticism. I don't know.
Yep.
All I'm saying is that was the right play to make at the time.
I agree. I mean, he must have been listening to the show.
Why didn't you say that over the PA? Thank you, Tom Brady.
I should have.
Thank you, Mike Grable.
That would have been really funny.
Yeah, they probably would have gotten a call from Jonathan, too.
Now, you've called a lot of games, all sports, football, basketball.
Gramps.
Yeah.
Have you ever felt the need to yell out show ponies and unicorns during one of those?
How did I know this was going to come up today?
You're kind of an expert on the broadcasting industry. What do you think of that?
Well, let's see. Let me see. I'm going to try to put this as delicately as I can.
Don't.
All right, fine. I didn't like it. Good.
Yeah.
Two things that stand out. Number one, you know how much we make fun of other people, you know, when they do things like that, and now the rest of the world's making fun of us.
Yes.
That's number one.
That was clear on Monday.
Yes. Number two, as someone who teaches aspiring broadcasters and journalists in this business, and Fred, as an Emerson alum, has been a speaker in my class previously, you try to teach journalists not to be the story. And then I'll let the rest of it.
Right.
I'll leave
my
the rest of it.
My biggest problem is I don't understand why you're broadcasting publicly, so generally everything you say should have meaning. What the hell does it mean? Like, if he wanted to yell, Brady's great, Patriots win, woo-hee, all that has meaning. Yeah. Yelling show ponies and where's the beef has no meaning.
That you know Zoe fairly well, right?
I like Zoe.
Okay, and he is a good guy, right?
I think he's a
good guy.
Love him.
Absolutely.
I don't know what he's talking about.
But do you know him well enough to know that that's his personality?
Oh, yeah.
He's
a frat boy.
He's a frat boy. He kind of just, he's a loose cannon. He just kind of goes off. That was a going off.
Yeah, I prefer he went off and made sense.
I don't disagree, but I'm just saying that's who he is.
Like some of those homers that go off on the negative, like the Brett Favre. Oh no, you can't do that, Brett. What are you? At least that's
passion.
It's
emotion. It's raw emotion. That was far less embarrassing.
Yeah.
I thought that was
Paul just hit on
it's
a very
also
important
unprofessional,
point.
But
Paul just hit on a very important point. The fact is that you do want that kind of passion and emotion in your broadcast. But I think what you have to do at the very least is realize that there's a point of, you know, idiocy that you kind of reach on some of these things. I mean, because people are already kind of feeling the emotion. And so it's up to you as a journalist to compliment that if you're actually caught in the moment, because everybody else is caught in the moment.
Right.
But when you stand out like a sore thumb like that, and when you look back on it and you cause people to stop and look and reflect on that, and it just appears stupid, you bring the whole thing down.
Yeah.
You just bring the whole thing down.
I didn't know what happened on the play. I heard Tompkins, and then I didn't know,
I know.
What happened?
And he's supposed to bring clarity to the play. Describe how he got
for
open.
For anybody that's just tuning in.
You know, said something like, you can't, you know, Sean Payton, you can't give John Brady three cracks at or something, you know, something that was sort of like.
Homerish, but.
Yeah, homerish. And
you can
disrespect
expect
the other
that.
Team.
You
that
can expect
makes sense.
That because that's the team broadcast. And
that makes sense.
Right, you can understand.
I thought idiocy was the good word.
I just, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, for those that may be wondering what we're talking about, we'll play it for you again in a little bit, but it was the end of the call at the end of the game on Sunday. And obviously, it goes down as...
Hey, got him on NFL Network.
It did. Yep. It did. It got him on a lot of other places, too. And
so Gary Tangway and the idiot Kirk Minahan got on the Jimmy Kimmel Show. That doesn't mean what they did was appropriate or you should be proud of.
There you go. All right,
if I whip my wiener out, people are going to put me on some TV show, but that doesn't mean I deserve to be there and my mother will be proud of it.
I'll look it up on the internet.
Was Mrs. Zoe proud of her son?
All right. John's up next with John's up next with Patriots Playbook and then the Fantasy Football Champs at 4 o'clock. A big day. Patriots.com radio. We'll see you tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.